Thank you for joining us. Literary editor of The Spectator, paying tribute to the news that came in just about 24 hours ago right now, that Michael Bond had died, very sadly. Delighted to welcome now again, as I'm contractually obliged to say, Mr. John Holmes. Hello, how are you?
We did you a favour yesterday. You know, you were looking for a sign-off.
I've been saying this. Proper professional broadcasters, i.e. not me,
yes,
tend to have like a payoff, they say, you know, keep safe outside, or they have something they say, and I say something different, a little bit garbled.
Stay classy, San Diego, that sort of thing.
So, yeah. Stay classy.
We got the listeners involved to try and find you one.
Excellent.
But none of them were broadcastable, I'm afraid, so... So we afraid we let you down.
Thanks anyway.
Yeah, I mean, a nice try, wasn't it?
Maybe I'll just make it that. Thanks anyway.
Thanks anyway.
John Holmes, what's coming up on your show?
Well, things are, of course. It's a Thursday, so we'll be having another edition of Paul Rossmaster.
Excellent. In which celebrities I'm still the winner on that. I've got some points.
You've got some points. Everyone's got some points.
I've got the most some points.
Everyone's at the top of the leaderboard. So we'll be doing that. We're going to be talking about the pay cap shambles. In the first bit,
is that in staff here at Talk Radio?
Obviously. That suggests there's pay here. So in order to have a cap, you need pay.
Good point.
Most of the people
point.
Do it around here just for...
For the love of it.
Community service.
That's because they're legally obliged to. John Holmes coming up at 1 o'clock. I'll use my new payoff. I'll be back at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Thanks anyway.
Talk Radio. Intelligent, organic entertainment. Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Stand up to cancer on Talk Radio. Stand up, raise cash, take cancer out. Because we're closer than ever to beating it.
I'm shine-headed king of the airwaves, James Whale. And I'm leading the hair raiser rebellion for Stand Up to Cancer.
Shave your shoulders, wax your woolly bits, de-beard your boat race. In fact, do anything you like to go fuzz-free and help raise shed loads of cash for life-changing cancer research. Wax on, shave off, take cancer out. 100% of the money raised go straight to those badass science boffins who save lives. Stand Up to Cancer on Talk Radio. Rebels, you now have a cause. Search Stand Up to Cancer to sign up.
Some things are just better with two. Like the ping pong. The hide and seek. Coming. Ready or not. A phone call.
Hello? Anyone?
And of course, going to the movies. Which is why only comparethemarket.com customers get 2-for-1 cinema tickets with Meerkat Movies. Because movies are better with two.
Qualifying purchase required. Tuesdays or Wednesdays, participating cinemas. Standard tickets only, cheapest ticket free. One membership for 12 months, conditions apply.
At Homebase, we're all about amazing prices for outdoor entertaining. Like garden furniture from just £39.99 and barbecues from only £7.99. Homebase, always low prices.
Work doesn't end because you're not there. It's always 9 a.m. somewhere. There's always a call to take. And business doesn't sleep even when you do. E-Receptionist lets you step outside the office and balance work with life. With E-Receptionist, calls can be directed to a landline or your mobile. So wherever you are, you're local. And with our unique app, you can dial out from your landline number with your mobile. Take a free 30-day trial at ereceptionist.co.uk. Cancel within 30 days to avoid charges.
There's a brilliant alternative to owning a car. With more freedom than leasing, it's better by far. Europcar's new long-term rental deal is the stress-free way to get behind the wheel. Delivery's free, collection is too. There's no lengthy forms or hoops to jump through. You'll get a great mileage allowance and complimentary valets, plus the chance to switch cars every 28 days. Get complete peace of mind for a fixed monthly fee. Add unlimited drivers, that's also free. For the best rental service, may we recommend long-term hire from Europcar, your flexible four-wheeled friend. Get long-term car hire from as little as £317 a month with a deposit of just £70. Book now at europcar.co.uk/long-term. Terms and conditions apply.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. For those about to talk, we salute you. Talk Radio.
Just after 1 o'clock. Good afternoon. Good Thursday afternoon. I'm John Holmes, and here's Victoria with the news now.
Thanks, John. Coming up, Grenfell Tower inquiry chair promises to find the truth. No deal yet for Northern Ireland. And a sheikh helps Cornish villagers.
Talk Radio.
The retired judge who will lead the Grenfell Tower fire inquiry says he understands the desire of local people for justice. Theresa May says she expects there to be an interim report as soon as possible and that no stone will be left unturned. Labour's shadow business minister Jack Dromey says what matters is that survivors are comfortable with Sir Martin Morbick's appointment.
Above all, the test for me is whoever conducts this independent inquiry, and a fundamental inquiry is necessary into what went wrong has got to be acceptable to the families.
The Northern Ireland Secretary is calling on parties to reach an agreement to restore a power-sharing deal at Stormont. The deadline is 4 p.m. The Culture Secretary says she's inclined to launch a full investigation over the proposed £11.7 billion takeover of Sky by 21st Century Fox. The proposed deal would see Sky having the third largest total reach of any news provider after the BBC and ITN. Karen Bradley is concerned about the influence of Rupert Murdoch because of his other media companies.
This potentially raises public interest concerns because, in Ofcom's view, the transaction may increase members of the Murdoch Family Trust's ability to influence the overall news agenda and their ability to influence the political process, and it may also result in the perception of increased influence.
A major new study has revealed 4 out of 5 people referred to food banks went without eating for days at a time. Half of the 400,000 people questioned said they couldn't even afford heating or toiletries. And a billionaire sheikh has helped a small Cornish village to set up a community centre. The Prime Minister of the UAE has donated funds so villagers in Godolphin Cross can buy a Methodist chapel which closed last April. They approached him because of a link between the village's name and Sheikh Mohammed's famous stables. Thanks for that interruption, John.
It's not really an interruption, is it?
Well, why are you cleaning the microphone?
Well, it's disgust. Have you seen this?
I don't want to.
Look at that.
It's got bits and bits. I don't know what they are.
It's bits of Julia Hartley Brewer, that is.
It could be Paul Ross.
Oh, more likely, I suppose. Sorry, Karen, I just
need to do the weather now. I've finished talking.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Rain across many northern and western areas this afternoon. Drier in the south with just a few showers possible. Highs of 19 degrees. You erring the microphone.
I'm erring
the
microphone.
Or the weather forecast.
No, I wasn't listening to that. I was just looking at the detritus on this microphone.
Check your vocabulary out.
Yeah. Got an English degree. So... Hi,
John.
How are you, Victoria?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. So, you enjoying the new toilet paper in the building?
Well, I'm excited because we've upgraded.
I know. So, in the toilets here, there ordinarily is just there's a dispenser on the wall, isn't it, next to the toilet? Today, all around the place, there's new toilet roll holders with posher toilet paper.
Yeah.
I wondered when the money from News UK would start pouring in. And clearly, look at that.
It's good.
Look at the investment. Looking after people's bottoms in the workplace, Victoria. That's what they're doing now.
I think it's a priority.
Yeah. I mean, heaven above that the microphone should be clean or working, but that doesn't matter.
I feel more comfortable with the better quality loo roll.
Do you? Were you anti the other? Did you put in a complaint or something?
No, I never complained. I just got on with it.
Yeah.
But now the better quality stuff's arrived. Yeah. I'm very happy.
Are you? Are you spending more time in there?
Well, no, not yet.
Right, just checking. Anyway, that's the news from here. So good. And now here's Ben with his pre-recorded sport.
Talk Radio Sports Update with Selco Builders Warehouse. Tons of stock on the shelf, all at trade prices. Selco's got it.
Selco, it's where the trade go.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. We'll start with tennis because Andy Murray has again pulled out of a Wimbledon warm-up exhibition match tomorrow. It's the second time he's done so this week, citing a sore hip. Wimbledon starts on Monday. The world number one will go into his title defence, having played just one match on grass. West Ham co-owner David Gold says two strikers are needed to avoid a struggle in the Premier League next season. Gold says the Hammers are looking good in other positions, so there's only one area they're targeting at the moment.
We need strikers. Andy Carroll is injury prone, as we know. We've had an injury problem with Sacco. We've just got to bring in centre forwards, and we've got to find the money. You know, without strikers, you struggle in this in the Premier League. You struggle in any division.
Finally, Mario Itoje says he's living a childhood dream by starting for the British and Irish Lions in the second test with the All Blacks on Saturday morning. He comes in as one of three changes, with Sam Warburton skippering the side and Johnny Sexton also starting. Talk Sport will bring you full live commentary of the second test. That's the latest sports news powered by Talk Sport.
Thank you, Benjamin. There's Benjamin there with his sport. Did you just throw something at me? Yes, you did. You did.
No.
You literally.
Also, I don't think his name is actually Benjamin. I think it is just Ben.
It's Benjamin.
No.
Just like
unless
yours
he
is,
lies to me.
Just like yours is Victoriana.
It is.
And his is Benjamin.
Yeah. But he's Ben. I'm Victoriana.
Yeah. Benjamin. Right. Thank you, Victoriana. And thank you, Benjamin. Now Cloaca. we'll press a button to get us underway.
Talk Radio.
the frozen strawberry lemonade is back. Tangy iced lemon with a sweet strawberry-flavoured swirl. Then enjoy. Blue sky, off to the beach, windows down, aircon on, cold sea, hot sand and a lazy trip home. It's a quick burst of summer for only $1.99. The McCafe iced range at McDonald's. Serve until the 3rd of October, subject to availability. Price and participation may vary.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Previously on the John Holmes Show.
I'm the oldest in here by a year. Burger Sing. Verg Sing Radio.
A dating app called Singda.
BAE Singstoms.
HSB Sing.
Sing Tandare. Nate Sings Wine. Carl Sing Black Label. Singerman's Friend. You think about Paddington, right? Because Paddington's a bear, obviously. Paddington's a bear. Right, Paddington...
is a bear.
He's a bear. No, let me explain. And it reminded me of BJ McKay and his best friend...
Paddington.
Bear. But the thing about bear, it wasn't a bear. It was a chimpanzee.
Thank you for joining us here on BBC Radio, Cats. Your TV memories.
Well, I don't know whether you remember this. BJ and the bear. He was a chimpanzee. But he was called Bear.
And you open the door and you step inside. We're inside our hearts.
This is your life. Good to the last drop. Doesn't get any better than this.
John Holmes.
The radio is one of the outstanding developments of the 20th century.
Radio.
This isn't a seminar. This isn't a weekend retreat. Nothing is static. Everything is a ball.
Who are you?
John Holmes.
John Holmes.
With no power comes no responsibility.
There.
Talk Radio.
When I am mounted on a giant.
Well, the chances of anything coming from Mars are a million to one, they say. Not my words, of course, but the words of H.G. Wells in his seminal work, The War of the Worlds. The chances of anything remotely useful coming from this show are considerably fewer, odds-wise. But that's not going to stop us from ejecting not Martian capsules from the Red Planet, but rather we have 3 hours of broadcasting to eject at you from inside here, inside your radio where we live. Look, just in there, just to be clear, this is what we're in.
We're in here, just looking out now through the grill.
In here. I'm John Holmes, welcome along. It's Thursday, the 29th of the June. June! And, of course, it was on this day in history that the Treasurer of the Vatican denied sex offences, that the US-led coalition against ISIS in Iraq began to push the terror group back, and that somebody called Letitia Grace from Big Brother, and I quote from the papers, flashed a camel toe, which I can only presume is a souvenir brought back from a desert region. I mean, I was just saying on this day in history, I mean, technically, that's today. These things have happened this morning. But still, you know, it is a day in history, and I'm sure those events will go down in it. Welcome, then. Here we are again with a Thursday load of it for your delight. And I use the word delight there in the context of Turkish delight, which is, of course, horrible. To all right-thinking people, it should be called Turkish horrible. Don't look at me like that, Victoria. It's disgusting. Isn't it?
I've had some good ones.
No, it's disgusting. It's jellied disgusting. No idea what I'm talking about. Anyway, let's have a see with our ears what's coming up on today's programme, shall we? Well, headline hijack is on the way in this hour. That means you get the chance to insert yourself, news-wise, into Victoria. With some made-up story or other. Some words roughly hewn into the shape of a bulletin, a headline, a paragraph of current affairs. Send it to us. We will give it to Victoria. She will say it as fact in the news at 2 o'clock to confuse the people not listening to this bit. It's Headline Hijack. Here's the number that you need, 87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you like.
That's it. That's the way to get in touch. There will be a diversity paper review today. Toby will be in. Is it Toby's debut?
I think, yeah. I think Silly it's, Gillies.
Toby Gillies in the paper review today. He's Jewish. Ish. And last week he punched Cass in the throat, so we like him. He'll be in to review the papers for us. There will be the current affairs and the day's big stories, of course, brought to you via the lyrical majesty of traditional Japanese poetry, as we make the news easier to digest, I think, by sticking it to a rigid number of syllables, 5, 7 and 5. It's the news in haikus. Work Experience Punditry today. Work Experience Ricky will be in. Rounding up for us a week's worth of geeky, gadgety crap. It's the Tech Review. Brought to us by Work Experience, specifically because we don't have to pay them. Spent all the money on new toilet rolls. Oh, yeah. The Murdoch money's rolling in now. Yeah. It's the Big Debate at 3. All your reactions are coming this afternoon as well. Like this one, Cornelius. Like this one that's come in already.
John, everybody wants to be famous. Nobody wants to be nameless, aimless. People act shameless, just trying to live like entertainers. Thank you, Dizzy Rascal, for that.
Thank you very much, yeah. There'll also be another chance to hear what happened when I called BBC Radio Kent's phone in, if you missed it yesterday. A lot of people saying they missed it, so we can play it out again today. And we'll bring you part two of our children's poem about George Galloway, based on the Gruffalo. I know. I know. It's obvious, isn't it? You don't get that on LBC now, do you? No, you don't. Not on, you don't get that on Virgin, do you? No, because it's longer than 30 seconds. So. Plus, of course, it's Thursday, so it's the unwelcome return of nobody's favourite quiz, Paul Rossmaster, as celebrities with an increasingly small C are tweeted, no, not tweeted, tested, as to their knowledge. I just read
That's how we book them.
I just read it, more or less is, yeah. As to their knowledge of the Talk Radio Full Set Breakfast presenter, Paul Ross. It's Paul Rossmaster on the show later. Let's meet the team. Ginger Dave, you can't meet him, he's not producing today. Ass broadcast, however, throat punched through the glass. What? She's through
the miserable window.
It wasn't funny.
It was funny. Why did he punch him in the throat? Was it
an accident?
I imagine it wasn't.
No, it actually was. He thought I was going to kill him though, but I didn't.
Right.
I was more in shock.
Are you better now?
Not really.
Good. Chloe's on the buttons. Hi, Chloe.
Hi.
Hi.
Victoria, as aforementioned, has the news.
Yes, John.
Yes. And, of course, Cornelius is here. Cornelius.
Yes, hello, John. Hi. Thanks there. Very much for having me. I really look forward to the show today.
Great. Good man. You're the only one. Right, so... Hi, I'm John Holmes. It's Talk Radio in the afternoons from Talk Radio. And we are going to start with some music. Now, the reason for that is it links neatly to today's big story, of course. And regular listeners will know, if you are one, play along at home. No prizes. All you have to do is see if you can figure out what the big story is from the big song. Clues are all there. Here it comes. Of course, some kind of weird mix of men without hats and Safety Dance. But why would we be playing it on the radio? Well, of course, why would we play? It links, Cornelius, to today's big story.
Because, John, we can dance if we want to.
If we want to.
Yeah.
We can.
I mean,
in fact, you know, I think let's.
Really?
Let's dance. Legs will they will never bind. And we can act like we come from out of this world. Leave the real one far behind. We can dance. Yeah, we just did the dance.
No, you did the mistake I was doing last weekend.
Yeah.
Where you thought you were dabbing, but yeah. You were Usain Bolting instead.
I was dad-dabbing.
Yeah,
dad-dabbing, That's what I was doing. Yeah, yeah. But, we can dance if we want it, but that's not the reason for playing that.
It's a health and safety story.
Oh, safety dance.
These men aren't wearing hats as well, John.
I know.
Which would be very dangerous on a construction site.
Yeah, you're right. And you wouldn't be allowed on. You need the right boots as well. But it's not that, no. Anything else?
Hats.
Well, in a way.
I think I know it.
Go on.
Is it the pay caps?
Yes, Cornelius, yeah. It's the pay caps. Because the men are without hats and the public sector workers are without pay. Because there's a cap on it. Still, even though yesterday we all thought they were going to lift the public sector pay cap and Labour wanted it and then the government did a U-turn and now the 1%
stake. What are they
there's
like?
No, there's, what are they?
What are they? They're so silly.
They're so stupid, aren't they? This is a bit weird today, isn't it? There's no lifting of that pay cap. Hats, pay caps. We'll be talking pay caps next on Talk Radio in the afternoons.
Talk Radio. Listen. Phone. Talk.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking. Stand up to cancer on Talk Radio. Stand up, raise cash, take cancer out. Because we're closer than ever to beating it.
I'm shine-headed king of the airwaves, James Whale. And I'm leading the hair raiser rebellion for Stand Up to Cancer.
Shave your shoulders, wax your woolly bits, de-beard your boat race. In fact, do anything you like to go fuzz-free and help raise shed loads of cash for life-changing cancer research.
Wax on, shave off, take cancer out. 100% of the money raised go straight to those badass science boffins who save lives.
Stand Up to Cancer on Talk Radio. Rebels, you now have a cause. Search Stand Up to Cancer to sign up.
Let's create a garden to be proud of. Because right now at Wickes, there's buy one, get one free on all Cuprinol wood care, so you can relax in style. Items must be same price, ends Monday.
My thing, my abs. They're big on Instagram. Well, they were until I dropped a dumbbell on my phone. Anyway, I need a replacement. 12 megapixel camera for maximum muscle definition. But my budget is lower than my body fat ratio. So, you know what? It's got to be refurb.
Russell's thing. It's clearly a refurbished smartphone from eBay. That's as good as new with 12-month seller warranty. Buy refurbished tech on eBay and save up to 50% versus new. eBay. Find your thing.
There's no need to scream and shout. If there's a U-bend that needs straightening out,
there's a local hero for that.
If your lights are leaving you in the dark, there's no need for a rude remark.
There's a local hero for that. Whether it's plumbing, heating, drains or electrics, we've got a local tradesman who can help. There's no call-out charge and all work comes with a 12-month British Gas guarantee. Book online now. There's a local hero for that. localheroes.com.
There's a brilliant alternative to owning a car. With more freedom than leasing, it's better by far. Europe Car's new long-term rental deal is the stress-free way to get behind the wheel. Delivery's free, collection is too. There's no lengthy forms or hoops to jump through. You'll get a great mileage allowance and complimentary valets, plus the chance to switch cars every 28 days. Get complete peace of mind for a fixed monthly fee. Add unlimited drivers, that's also free. For the best rental service, may we recommend long-term hire from Europe Car, your flexible four-wheeled friend. Get long-term car hire from as little as £317 a month with a deposit of just £70. Book now at europecar.co.uk/long-term. Terms and conditions apply.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
To the West Midlands, first of all, and the M6 heading southbound is looking fairly slow at the moment following an earlier accident. Around Junction 9 for Wensbury, congestion still stretching back towards Junction 11 for Cannock, although all lanes have been reopened. In Wales, the M4 on the eastbound side seeing a lane closed due to emergency repairs around Pencoed at Junction 35 through towards 34 for Miskin. Traffic there coping fairly nicely. The M5 heading northbound got a lane closed, all due to a broken down lorry. That's really between Junction 26 for Wellington and 25 for Taunton. I'm Andy Broxton.
Talk Radio, the 21st century dream team of dialogue, debate and discourse.
Talk Radio, give it some lip. Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So good afternoon. You are listening to Talk Radio. Let's take some of your reactions before we talk about today's big story. Of course, we are the home of reaction. If there's a reaction, then we are happy to have it homed here. It could be an old reaction that's been made homeless. Maybe it's a reaction you've got that hasn't got a home. But we will take it in like an opinion orphan. And give it a home. Here's some of the stuff you've been sending.
Yes, lots of orphans coming in, John. John, I've just had a quick nap and woken up. Could you please let me know who the Prime Minister is?
We'll check that and bring you that information later.
Sure. John, the whistleblower who went to the press about the fecal matter in iced coffee, absolute S-word stirrers.
Thank you. Very much indeed. If you've got a reaction, 87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you'd
like. Let's talk about today's big story. With their first day back in Parliament with the DUP in their pocket, the Conservatives appeared to U-turn on a U-turn on a U-turn. A number 10 spokesman said that a 1% pay cap on public sector pay would be lifted. Then they changed their minds and said that the policy had not changed, a line that was then echoed by the Treasury. There was a vote, of course. Labour wanted to force a bill to lift the cap through, but they lost the vote because the Northern Irish party that Theresa May bought for £1 billion backed her up, which is the least you'd expect for paying £1 billion. So the Tory cap was doffed to the DUP over the pay cap. It was all branded as shambles by Labour, suggesting that the Tories wear a dunce's cap over the pay cap. It's possibly confusing due to the sheer number of hats involved, as there was talk of a flat cap rate at one point as well, and then a peak rate cap, which of course is a peaked cap. And then, of course, there's the fact that Health Secretary Jeremy Hunt waded into the debate, and he's a bit of a helmet. Like I said, it's confusing with all the hats. To try and lead us through it all is the former European editor at the Financial Times. It's Brian Groom. He's on the phone. Hello, Brian. Good afternoon.
Hi there, John.
Thanks very much for joining us. So is it as much of a shambles as Labour are claiming what happened yesterday?
Well, yesterday was. The government certainly didn't cover itself in glory. I was struggling to keep up with how many U-turns we were having. U-turns on U-turns. And by the end of the day, you had to try and sort out what their line was. So what I think we're seeing is the government, after the shock of the election, is really struggling to contain the tensions within the government itself, partly over Brexit, but also over austerity. And Downing Street wanted to signal to the public that it heard the message of the election, that people are fed up with 7 years of austerity. But they went a bit far, and they didn't ask Philip Hammond, the Chancellor, who is in charge of all these things, what he thought of it. And he seems to have been infuriated by Downing Street appearing to announce an end to the public sector pay cap before he'd come to a decision on his own.
Yeah, and it was quite interesting because we sort of got to see. I mean, occasionally this happens, doesn't it? You sort of get to see this behind the scenes stuff played out in front of the press, essentially.
Yeah, it's every day at the moment. The government seems to be having it's what a normally private argument seem to be happening publicly. Somebody says one thing, and then somebody stands up and says something else.
Yeah, and it was going. I mean, the vote was only going to go one way, really, wasn't it? What, you know, because the DUP, it wasn't, you know, they did their part, I suppose, with this, didn't they?
I think so, yes. I think they were always going to win this vote, but I guess they didn't want to seem like they're not listening to the election result and they're just going to ride roughshod over what people said. And they're just trying to give some hope to people that the end in sight on the public sector pay cap, but of course they're not the ones who have to find the money. Philip Hammond's got it. It costs £4 billion a year to raise public sector pay in line with inflation, and he's got the public finances are still not in a very good shape, and he's got all kinds of pressures to raise spending on various counts.
Yeah, and we know there is a magic money tree now. Of course, we were told there wasn't, but we've seen it shaken over Northern Ireland. But it's almost like, and this is what the public think now, isn't it? Because of what's happened recently, it's like they can find the money when they want it, when they need it, but it doesn't seem to filter through to the electorate, does it? That's the impression people get.
Yeah, I mean, that's the impression we were getting. That was the penalty for the deal with the DUP. It's fining £1 billion. People said, well, look, you know, you said there was no magic money tree, and suddenly there is. But it is a fact that that raising public sector pay in line with inflation will cost $4 billion a year, and that's on an annual basis, that's four times what the cost of the DUP deal will be. And he's also under pressure to find money for adult social care, for schools, for police and security in the wake of the terrorist attacks. He's not going to be able to satisfy all these things. It's going to be a very difficult budget come this autumn.
In terms of how it makes the government look now, though, because as you were rightly saying, and we were talking about, you know, there was a U-turn here, there was a U-turn there, there was a contradictory statement from Number 10, then the Treasury, and then, as I say, you know, Jeremy Hunt waded in, and, you know, all of this was being played out. But, you know, the government are in such an awkward shape at the moment anyway. You'd think they'd be doing their best to just, the strong and stable that was mentioned at one point, you'd think they'd be really doing their utmost to try and get it all back on track. But every day brings some sort of new, well, shambles, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, yesterday showed that there's not a very good working relationship between Downing Street and the Treasury. It appeared that Theresa May was all set to sack Philip Hammond after the election, but then she didn't. Suddenly found lost her majority. She was in a strong position. He's now in a much stronger position, and she can't push him around anymore. So they didn't get their act together yesterday. They hadn't agreed the line, and that's what the fallout was all about that.
Yeah, and in terms of just where we go on the pay, because the pay cut's been an issue. It's a huge issue for Labour, of course. It's it's a very sort of Jeremy Corbyn was talking yesterday as well about the emergency services, of course, and the work they do was highlighted with the Grenfell thing and everything else. I mean, what in your opinion, Brian, or just to sort of look ahead, what will happen? Will we ever get this cap lifted, do you think, or is it just that's it now?
You're reluctant to predict anything these days, given the state of politics. But my view would be, I mean, I think there probably will be some easing of this pay cap come the budget. There's a lot of pressure from the public, and then backbench Tory MPs, they're all desperate for it to be lifted. They're getting pressure from their constituents. So my guess is that come the autumn, we will get some relaxation of it in time for the next spring's pay round, but I doubt it'll be massive. It'll probably be a small increase above the 1%.
Yeah, just sort of throwing crumbs from the table to keep the electorate quiet for a bit longer. Listen, Brian, thank you very much for your time. That's Brian Groom there, former European editor at the FT, talking us through what is essentially a completely complicated shambles with all those U-turns going on yesterday, as we said, for the Treasury from Number 10 and so on and so forth. And Cornelius is still wearing the pay cap that we have in the studio.
It's a big weight on my shoulders, actually, John.
Well, you need to put it on your head.
Oh,
I've told you that.
Sorry.
And we've written public sector on it, obviously.
Okay.
So it looks quite nice. Anyway, we're giving it away. We gave away a public sector pay cap yesterday. And if you'd like one, it's got a brick, it's peaked, so it'll keep the sun out of your eyes. And it's got an adjustable strap at the back.
Oh, yeah, they're good with the little plastic holes and the. Yeah, they're
no,
good.
No, it's a Velcro one.
Oh, is it?
It's a Velcro one, but sometimes
wears out.
And it's good
for
when one needs to tighten the belt, you know, speaking of austerity. It's good to tighten the belt on the back of the public sector pay cap. Anyway, if you'd like one of those, then simply write your answers on a postcard, sealed down postcard, and send it to Talk Radio Public Sector Pay Cap Hat Offer, Talk Radio, The Radio, London. In the next bit of the programme, we'll go through the papers. It's the Diversity Paper Review, and bring you, of course, today's headline hijacks. Ahead of that, though, at 1:30, here's Victoria. She's got the news.
Talk Radio. The retired judge who will chair the inquiry into the Grenfell Tower fire says it's important his investigation gets to the truth as quickly as possible. Sir Martin Morbick also says he understands the desire of local people for justice. An agreement that will see a new devolved government formed at Stormont is still achievable, according to the Northern Ireland Secretary. Power-sharing talks are continuing ahead of a deadline this afternoon. Northern Ireland faces the return of direct rule from Westminster if no deal is reached, but James Brokenshire hopes that can be avoided.
Much progress has been made, but a number of issues remain outstanding. I believe that a resolution can be found.
The Culture Secretary says she's minded to order a full investigation of Fox's proposed takeover of Sky. It's after the media regulator Ofcom said it was concerned about Rupert Murdoch's companies having too much influence.
A study of people using food banks has found 4 in 5 users go hungry multiple times a year. Research by the Trussell Trust blamed price rises and insecure incomes for the survey results. And the acting chief of the French Air Force is under investigation over claims he used a fighter jet to commute home at the weekend. General Richard Rabaul is alleged to have used an Alpha jet at least 10 times over the last year. The weather rain
what
across...
What a brilliant idea! What a great thing to do!
I mean, it might be time-saving, but maybe it's not ethically okay.
It's quite a difficult thing to conceal when you just have a massive fighter jet in your drive. And just go, what's that? Oh, it's the courtesy car.
That is good. I mean, if I was commander-in-chief of an armed force air defence unit... I don't know, whatever it is. What did he say he was?
He's the acting chief of the French Air Force.
Yeah, that's what I said. I would take a fighter jet home. I'd go home in a fighter jet. So I think that's...
I sometimes take biros home from here. Sort of similar thing, it is really, similar. Isn't it?
Yeah. It's just upscaled, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, you just nix
because there's a cost, yeah. But obviously a fighter jet's more expensive to run than a biro.
Well, in real terms, yes, I suppose that is.
But morally, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing. I mean, I steal the paper from the photocopier to take it home.
But also, he's a public sector. We're not.
Yeah. And now we've got nicer toilet rolls. I'm going to take those.
John.
You're in charge.
Don't do that. Not, because if you do that, you're going to get them taken away from us.
Not from the ladies. You're in charge of toilet rolls in your flat, aren't you?
Yes.
Right.
So
what?
This is a role I've created for myself.
She told me this earlier.
A toilet roll.
Great. Good. Yeah, because no one else is buying it. And I was getting fed up because I never want to run out of loo roll.
Right.
And I was buying the biggest possible packs you could get, but then I looked like an idiot on my bike cycling with them in the basket, which is now broken because of a lot of weight. Anyway, so now I bulk buy 45
sounds
rolls
like
a premium
roll.
Loo roll, and they get them delivered every month.
Right.
Wow.
Well, you could take them from here.
£16.
Mm. Sorry, is that the weight or the cost?
The cost.
Oh, right.
Which I think is reasonable for 45 rolls.
Well, what's the quality like?
It's good.
All right. Is it as good as the new ones here?
Yeah, it's on a par.
Oh, is it?
Mm.
So you could take them from here.
I'm not going to steal from work.
Well,
yeah. A little wink there.
Yeah. She says with a microphone in her pocket. Or she's just pleased to see us. I don't know. Anyway.
It's not that.
Do you
want me to do the weather?
Yeah, if you want.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I probably should.
Yeah.
So the weather.
Why the hell not? You know.
Rain across many northern and western areas, but dry in the south with just a few showers. Highs of 19 degrees. There's more in just under half an hour.
Thanks very much indeed. Victoria there with the news. Headline hijack on the way.
The mother of all talk shows with George Galloway.
He's back
on Talk Radio. Listen up, comrades of the world. Unite.
Our glorious leader, George Galloway, returns to the UK airwaves with the mother of all talk shows.
The switchboard is lighting up.
Controversial conversation and cutting-edge current affairs comment with the notorious B.I.G.G. Listen, this guy's a nightmare. He's not a great guy, folks. The mother of all talk shows with George Galloway. Tomorrow night from 7 on Talk Radio.
I did not say that.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Talk Radio in the afternoons. Why not text us and tell us what you steal from work? There's the French Air Force chief there taking a jet home. What a great idea. Cornelius steals biros.
Mm-hmm.
I occasionally get bits of paper out of the photocopier. So he uses writing paper. But there are all the writing paper I use for here. So technically that's not really stealing.
My dad used to take whole reams of paper home.
Did he?
Whole packets, yeah.
Where did he work, you know, tell
me? He just worked for a major bank.
When you say reams of paper, wads of notes.
No.
And so many, you used it in your house as toilet paper. Probably.
No wonder you're the richest family in the South.
I know you're a spoilt child, and I know your family own Bromley, but that is... Now I know why. He used to steal from his bank.
He didn't.
Wiping his bum on £50 notes, your dad. Dirty Mendez. That's what they call him. It's time for you to make up some news stories. That's right, it's Headline Hijack. And here's how you do it. Simply make a news story up. That's it. It's that simple. Just a paragraph, a couple of lines even, that'll do. Send it hither and thither. And you could hear your news lie, for such it is, coming out of the mouth of Victoria in the news at 2 o'clock. That is Headline Hijack. It's very simple. The lines are open. 8-7-2-2.
Start your message with the word talk.
Yeah, talk radio on Twitter.
Start your message anywhere, do you like?
Well, you got Cornelius.
This one's from Catherine, who says, the organisers of the Wimbledon tennis tournament have admitted that they have forgotten to arrange and hold the event this year. The competition, which is normally held just after Glastonbury, should be taking place by now, but it seems at the moment that everyone involved has seemed to forget about it. They've said that the tournament will be back next year.
Is it a fallow year for Wimbledon?
Yeah, I believe so. Let the grass go.
Let the strawberries grow back, isn't
it? Yeah.
Otherwise there'll be no harvest.
Yeah.
Because it's quite hard to grow strawberries. Not as hard as it is to grow the cream, which they have to do, obviously, in the field next door.
Well, yeah.
And you have to let that grow fallow in order to grow the strawberries and the cream. What else have you got there? What else?
What about this one from Rio, who says, several online stores have had to apologise after listing an item that could supposedly cause severe damage to male genitals. Mm. The item, called the Willotine...
The Willotine?
Right. Yeah. Was said to be a joke present that could not actually cause any harm to anyone, but manufacturing fault saw the item turn evil.
And Walkers today completed their copyright of tearing open a bag of crisps to share while sat at a pub table. The ruling will now mean that drinkers in pubs and bars will only be able to tear open Walkers crisps on the table, and any other brands should be opened at the top or bottom of the bag, as per usual. I don't trust people who open a bag of crisps at the bottom of the bag.
I like doing that to wind people up.
Yeah.
And not around people I know, so I won't do it in front of you.
Thank you.
I do it on trains. Because you can just see people, cause obviously they're not going to ever say anything.
Yeah.
But just sort of sat opposite you, just going, sort of staring
and
at you.
Deliberately turning it over in front of them.
Yeah, sort
it's
of.
Just one of those annoying.
It really does annoy.
It's infuriating. There's a top to the bag and a bottom to the bag. Don't open the crisps at the bottom of the bag.
Why? It's the exact same.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. And if anything, I bet all the flavour collects at the bottom of the bag.
Yeah,
so when you turn it
up
upside down, it will happily sort of spread itself across the crisps.
Absolutely nonsense. You've got no scientific evidence for that whatsoever.
Well, gravity.
You've got no scientific evidence for gravity.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, look. Listen. That pen dropped, didn't it?
Yeah, but how do you know that the table didn't rush up to meet the pen?
Because the bottle on it didn't move.
At a quantum level.
Well, so you I don't just know what that means.
Well, exactly. So I win that.
Yeah.
In the next bit of the programme, we'll be bringing you... I mean, that makes me the winner of the science debate. So.
Yeah.
Next bit of the programme, you're going to get a paper review, and it's going to come from a diversity, because we do the diversity paper review. Different diversities reviewing the papers each and every day. Makes us the most diverse programme in broadcasting. We've also got part two. You may have missed part one, but don't worry, they'll all be available online and so forth, of our children's poem based on George Galloway. That's right, it's called The Galloway. And it's a little bit like the Gruffalo, except with a Corbynite in a hat. So that's on the way as well. And don't forget Paul Rossmaster today on the programme. A quiz pertaining to the life and the work of Talk Radio Full Set Breakfast presenter Paul Ross. It's Paul Rossmaster, and we'll be bringing it to you between 3:30 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It is Talk Radio. I'm John Holmes. We'll take traffic and travel next.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. Access all radios.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
I used to be a security guard. Work nights. Instead of being at home with the kids watching TV, I was always at work with Big Barry watching CCTV. But now I drive with Uber. I don't have to work on social hours if I don't want to, and I can do and watch whatever I want.
Daddy, can I watch Doggy Detective?
Brilliant.
Work or not, at the touch of a button. Find out more at uber.com/driveuk. Uber, where to?
This Friday is a EuroMillions jackpot event. And there's a whopping £85 million to be won.
It's out of this world, over.
Tickets for Friday's jackpot event are available now. EuroMillions from the National Lottery. Estimated jackpot, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 16 or over.
Back a bit. No. Forward. A bit more. Now, back. Forward. Wait. Forward.
At Valent, we can't help you get your van into the tightest spaces, but our award-winning EcoFit Pure Boilers with their rear flue option are designed to easily fit into small cupboards. And a boiler and flue pack costs from just £750 plus 20% VAT. Valent, with you all the way. Just search Valent EcoFit for more.
Back a bit! Perfect!
Alfa Romeo offers uncompromising Italian style, a century of innovation, and a history of racing legends. And now we're offering even more. In addition to our current promotions, you can now receive an extra £500 contribution on selected models across the Alfa Romeo range, but only till June 30th. So visit your local Alfa Romeo dealer now. £500 contribution includes VAT, available on selected stock ordered and registered by June 30th, 2017. T's and C's apply.
If you still haven't gotten around to finding out if you ever had PPI, then it's probably time you did. Because even though there's still time to claim before the PPI deadline, time is the one thing that will eventually run out. All you have to do is text the word PLEASE to 60777 and the claims guys will conduct a free search to discover if you ever had PPI. You can then claim the money yourself or let the claims guys do it for you. It's your choice. Isn't it time you texted PLEASE to 60777?
The claims guys.
At Homebase, we're all about amazing prices for outdoor entertaining, like garden furniture from just £39.99 and barbecues from only £7.99. Homebase, always low prices.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
In Cheshire, the M6 northbound stationary at the moment following an accident where a car and a lorry have collided. Rolling roadblocks currently in place around Junction 20 for the Lym interchange. In Wales, the eastbound side of the M4 still sees one lane closed due to some emergency repairs between Junction 35 for Pencoed and 34 for Miskin. Traffic there, though, coping fairly well. On the M1 London bound through Hertfordshire, it's queuing at the moment with long delays and a rolling roadblock. Three cars were involved in an accident between Junction 9 for Redbourne, congestion back towards 11. I'm Andy Broxton.
Surviving the Moment, a Talk Radio special with Simon Weston, CBE. This Saturday night from 6, join the Falklands hero as he talks candidly about the horrific moment his whole world was torn apart.
I'm Simon Weston. On the 8th of June 1982, my life changed forever when the British troop ship Sir Galahad was bombed.
The ship had been carrying two companies of the Welsh Guards. Although she'd been anchored for several hours, they were still aboard.
Discover the true inside story of one man's inspirational journey from victim to survivor to campaigner.
48 of my friends were killed that day, and I was left fighting for my life. A battle that would continue for many years.
We are all only one moment away from a completely different life. Surviving the Moment with Simon Weston. This Saturday night from 6, only on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good afternoon. I am John Holmes. Tildesley Grass has been in touch on the Twitter.
I thought you were saying your full name was John Holmes Tildesley Grass.
I may change it because I think that's got a ring to it.
Yeah.
We were talking, of course, about the French Air Force captain. What is he? Was he the head of
the acting chief of the French Air Force?
And he took a fighter jet home.
Yeah, a few times, like around 10.
Just to sort of commute. And Tildesley Grass says, "What are those cheese-eating surrender monkeys doing with fighter jets?" So,
well, if he wants to mess with people with fighter jets...
Then that's Tildesley Grass on Twitter. Good. Right. Hello. Welcome. That's part of the news, obviously. There's a lot of news, isn't there? There's a lot of news. I've just been looking. I've got a whole bag of it here. Look at that news.
Oh, that is good.
I know. That's not all. Look. That news.
Wow.
I know.
How do you fit it all into that bag?
I don't. News?
Oh, thanks.
That's a lot. That's a lot. How much news is that? That's a lot of news.
That's quite a lot. How much did you have to pay?
It was a lot of news.
Is it one of those ones where you go to a shop and you pay a price and get to fill the bag?
Yeah.
Or like did you have to weigh it at the end?
Yeah, you do have to weigh it at the end, like when you when you pick strawberries.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's a couple of kilograms of news.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but it's quite complicated, isn't it?
I can't get my head around it.
Don't worry, Cornelius. It's all right. We're here to help, of course, as we guide you through the news each and every afternoon. And we do it by employing the ancient art of Japanese poetry, because it makes it easier. Sticking to a rigid number of syllables, 5, 7, 5, we present the news in the form of haikus.
Mm-hmm.
Emergency serve. This is honoured with medals. Oh, wait, no, pay cap.
The news in haikus.
You're listening to Talk Radio in the afternoons. I am John Holmes, and it is time for the Diversity Paper Review. Of course, that is where we review the papers, and each and every day a different diversity joins us to do it, making us the most diverse programme in all of broadcasting. Today we welcome Toby in. And what is your diversity, Toby?
I am Jew-ish.
Good.
Ish being the operative
right.
word.
Which bit of you...
You're sort
don't,
of...
Don't ask that, John.
If I'm honest, you're sort of scraping the barrel
yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, I was born Jewish.
Yeah, well, that's good enough.
And I was forced to do that thing that you have to do when you're 13 that officially makes you a man.
Yes.
But... I mean, that's kind of as far as it goes.
It's good enough for us.
That's fine, yeah.
Apparently
on
so.
Paper, it'll do.
It is literally only on paper.
That's all that matters.
Okay,
in
well,
the world, that's exactly what diversity is, isn't
yes.
it? It's just ticking a box on a piece of
well,
paper.
Well, then, thank you
so,
for having
so
me.
So I think technically that's what we've done.
I'm very honoured.
What's in the papers, Toby? What are you
all
starting?
All sorts in the papers. And I know that I'm going to start with one that's very close to your heart.
Oh.
This is page 5 of the Express. Paddington creator dies at 91.
Yes.
Now, you would think that Paddington might be a train station.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's a bear.
It's a bear.
Yeah. Yes. It's very confusing,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah, it's confusing. We did this yesterday.
I know you did. Yeah,
that's why I'm doing it now.
I'm just proving that I listened to your show.
Well, that's very good of you. Yeah, yeah. But no, he's not. He's a bear. He's a bear.
He is a bear. He's and tributes.
He's a bear.
Apparently, have poured in yesterday for Paddington Bear creator Michael Bond.
Poured in? Is that a pun?
Yeah. Good.
A bear pun.
Yeah, I suppose. Sort of.
Yeah, yeah. No, we'll take that.
He died yesterday at the age of 91. This is a real tragedy, isn't it? And somebody that I would say, given the popularity of Paddington, you would probably class as a national hero in many ways.
I think Michael Bond was a bit of a one-trick pony, wasn't he, really? But you're
John.
Right.
John.
You know, I mean, Paddington, then what?
I mean, well, according to the article in The Express, as well as the Paddington series, Bond also wrote a children's TV show called The Herbs. And I think if you have to use the word called, that probably suggests that people don't actually really know.
Now you've said it,
yes.
I remember it.
Right.
The Herbs.
Okay.
Yes. I can't tell anything about it, but I
he's
knew
in the Herbs something that's illegal to smoke.
Yeah, well.
No, that's duh. It's
oh, duh.
Only if you use a D that counts.
He didn't write duh.
No, he didn't. He also
different.
Apparently wrote a series of books about a guinea pig called Olga de Polga.
Yes, which my daughter is currently reading.
Okay.
And is one of her favourite books at the moment. She's 7 years old, Olga de Polga.
And apparently also a string of detective novels for adults.
Oh, right.
Yeah, they haven't even said called for that.
They're
so,
just,
I mean,
they're just that obscure. Figure out.
Right. So obscure, absolutely. So, moving on.
Yeah.
Page 3 of the Daily Star. Now, as somebody that works in and around sport, this is fascinating to me because the headline is Strictly Come On, Tim. As in, we all remember shouting,
Come on, Tim,
yeah. at this time of year.
Yeah.
Tennis ace Tim Henman,
yep.
can't even say his name, so much for a sports person, has told Strictly to count him out. He said he'd rather stick pins in his eyes than dance on the BBC show. I'd rather stick pins in my eyes. I have 2 left feet and I can't dance anyway. But isn't having 2 left feet...
It's going to get in the way of your tennis, though.
Well, I mean, you would think that.
Did, maybe, though, didn't it?
Maybe
he
that's why
won.
He only
that's
got
true,
to number
actually,
4 yeah. in the world, absolutely. Yeah. But isn't having 2 left feet... And then saying I can't dance anyway is the same saying the same
it's
thing
the
twice.
It is the same thing. I think they should come up with a programme where celebrities do actually just stick pins
yeah,
in their eyes.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, he said that as if that's the alternative.
Yeah, you could call it celebrity pins in their eyes.
And then,
you wouldn't even be seeing stars.
And they come out from a dry ice and a curtain, don't know, the celebrities, and to Matthew Kelly. And they sit them in a chair, and then, you know, in the Clockwork Orange, those things that pin your eyes,
yes,
that actually
open.
Force your eyes open.
Yes.
They do that, and then needles are just put into the eyeballs.
Would you have to do it yourself to show sort of self-discipline and strength,
I think
or would you get someone else to do it
for you? I think there
are
two versions. I think what you have is celebrity...
Maybe level one and level two.
Celebrity pins in their eyes,
yeah.
Right, which is where you have to do it to yourself,
yeah.
Like Tim Hemman is suggesting. So you're in the chair, but you're handed a selection of pins by Matthew Kelly, and then you have to push them into your own eyes. But then there's a spin-off, celebrity stars in their eyes, where other celebrities push pins into the eyes of celebrities.
Oh, I like it.
You could do a darts player special.
Yeah,
like bullseye. Basically,
brilliant.
Yeah.
So they're in the chair.
Pins in their bullseyes. It's a spin-off.
You're
it's
right.
a spin-off
you're
of a spin-off.
Right. It doesn't have to be facial eyes either, does it?
Stop.
And what would the prize be if you took part in celebrity pins?
It's always a speedboat.
Hi-fi with CD player.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that's a really good idea. The darts, the bullseye mashup of it is great because they're in the chair. And then you've got celebrity darts players just throwing darts at their eyes from across the room. I think that's fantastic.
It sounds like the greatest game that anyone has ever created. And almost certainly already exists in Japan.
Probably, yeah.
Almost certainly.
Actually, now you mention it, I think I've seen it.
Yeah, exactly. What about the Daily Mail? Always one to go to for a great story. Rook of Love. The Rook of Love
go
is
on,
their headline. Smitten bird rescuer lets it eat her food and sleep in her bedroom. And this is the charming tale of Helen Motterham, who saw an injured rook in the street outside a local restaurant, and she felt sad for it, picked it up, rescued it, has spent £2,000 on an aviary in the garden, but now actually just shares her, not just her house, but her entire life with this bird, and apparently her husband even has fallen in love with it too.
Right, so it's like a sort of threesome.
Yeah. I mean, it effectively is. There are photos of her with the bird on her shoulder in bed. And the best bit about my favourite part of it, and it doesn't really mention this until you get an awfully long way down the article, it talks about each night she shouts bedtime and the bird hops up the stairs, or she'll carry him if he's being particularly demanding. And you think, well, why doesn't it fly? But then you get a long way down the article and it eventually says... Mrs. Motron started rearing and releasing birds when she was 8, realised Russell wouldn't eventually be able to return to the wild because he's disabled. He's not like normal rooks, she said. He was born with crooked feet, which meant he isn't able to fly. I was thinking exactly that. He's also ruled himself out of a role in Strictly Come Dancing. So, disappointment for...
Celebrity rooks in their eyes, where celebrities have a series of birds... bit sharpened bird beaks,
yeah.
Hurled at their eyes.
Mm, disabled birds,
yeah,
only.
That's right.
So that's the tale, the charming tale of
all
Russell.
Right. There's one final story, shall
okay,
we?
Okay, what about your bank manager will see you now on Skype? Online chats are increasingly replacing face-to-face meetings with bank staff, sparking fears of branch closures. And apparently now they're saying, well, the quote used by the British Bankers Association about this is, customers are increasingly adopting web and video chat to contact their bank, giving them access on the go, at work, or on their sofa. And I fear... you know, the sort of views that these poor bank managers might get from people at sort of 2 o'clock in the afternoon who have no job.
In their pants.
Yeah.
But have you ever had a meeting with the bank manager? I mean, that's
no,
sort
genuinely
of from
not.
The 1950s or
no.
something. Who the hell has a meeting with their
I
bank manager?
I have recently. I opened up an ISA and you have to go and sit with a person and go, I want an ISA.
Yeah, but it's not the bank manager. You don't sit with
no,
the bank...
No, but I think that's what they mean with this story.
Yeah.
It's more like a bank clerk,
so
I imagine.
Have you been radicalised?
No, ISA.
Oh, sorry. Thanks, Toby.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. That's Toby there. Reminders of your diversity.
Jew-ish.
With the Diversity Paper Review. It's Talk Radio in the afternoons. I'm John Holmes. And so, to headline what?
Just on that, yes. Those things. Well, I prefer is, you know, those instant messaging things that lots of companies have for customer service now. So it's sort of like an old MSN Messenger, but it's great. They're really fun. Do you know O2 have one?
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's when you speak, it's a virtual assistant or something.
There is someone on the other side. O2, their one is you can speak to an O2 guru.
Right. Yes.
Right. And it's obviously just an expert about your phone.
Well, you say expert.
Exactly. Yeah. But I like to, when I use it quite a lot because my phone's rubbish, I refer to them as an actual guru and speak to them as if I was speaking to a proper Hindu guru. So I go, Namaste, wise one. And I go, soon I will be travelling on fair lands in Europe. Will I have roaming? Stuff like that.
Do they ignore that or do they join in?
No, they sort of ignore it, but obviously they still have to answer your questions. It's really fun.
There we go.
So, yeah, just a tip.
Oh, it's so much fun being Cornelius,
isn't it?
Yeah,
it is.
Right, then, Headline Hijack is on the way. And that means, well, you get to make up a news story, of course. The lines have been resolutely remaining open. The number you've been using is 87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you like.
Who is today's Headline Hijacker? Who's got their made-up story in the bulletin?
It's Lee.
Where's Lee from?
Whitby.
Hi, Lee in Whitby. Well done. You've got your story into Victoria's mouth, and it'll be coming out of it sounding real just after 2 o'clock. And just after 2 o'clock, we will be talking about Michael Bond, you know, the Paddington author who died yesterday as well. So we're going to be paying our own little tribute to Michael Bond as well. Also, Paul Rossmaster today between 3:30 and 4, as your knowledge and that of celebrity guests with a very small C is tested as to the life and work of Talk Radio Full Set Breakfast presenter Paul Ross. It's all coming between now and 4. Talk Radio Afternoons. I'm John Holmes.
Talk Radio. Join the Talk Nation.
Dial up and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
So listen, sour flavours are big right now. So Oasis Drinks is launching new Sour Oasis in apple cherry sour and kiwi apple sour flavour. And grime is big right now, so Oasis is jumping on that too. Yeah, Max, check this jingle. Rap, 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 drink 'em up, up, up. Rap, 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 drink 'em up, up, up. Introducing new Sour Oasis. Buy 'em now, get 'em in your faces. If it's not stocked in your local places, oh well, just buy a normal Oasis. Rap, 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 drink 'em up, up, up. Rap, 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 drink 'em up, yeah.
Have I got PPI?
Want to know if you've had PPI? Find out with our free PPI check.
We had claimed back PPI in the past, but it turns out there were some lenders we hadn't checked. The service Stanton Fisher provided was absolutely brilliant. We received over £2,500.
But the claim deadline is set for August 2019, so text CHECK to 80800 for your free PPI check.
Have I got PPI?
That's CHECK to 80800.
This August, Macmillan Cancer Support needs you to brave the shave and help raise money for men, women and children with cancer.
I'm braving the shave for my mum to let her know I'm here for her.
I'm shaving my head to support people facing cancer.
I'm braving the shave in memory of my grandma. I think she'd be proud of me.
I'm shaving my head to support my brother.
Whatever your reason for braving the shave this summer, you'll be doing something truly amazing to support people affected by cancer. So go on, sign up today at bravetheshave.org.uk or search Brave the Shave.
I'm a dead man.
Tim, Winston Wolfe, what's happened?
The party got out of hand. There's claret everywhere. The carpet, the sofa. My parents are going to kill me.
You're not dead yet, Tim. Your parents have 5-star DeFacto rated Direct Line Home Plus insurance.
What does that mean?
It means they're covered and the Wolfs just saved your bacon. Although I'd still make a quick getaway if I were you.
Why?
You're 31, Tim. It's time to fly the nest.
Cover your home with Direct Line's 5-star DeFacto rated Home Plus insurance. Search Direct Line Home Plus. Cover and limits apply. Underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
Let's create a garden to be proud of. Because right now at Wix, there's buy one, get one free on all Cuprinol wood care, so you can relax in style. Items must be same price. Ends Monday.
Space Voyager, proceed to countdown. 10, 9.
This Friday is a EuroMillions jackpot event.
2, 1.
And there's a whopping £85 million to be won.
It's out of this world. Over.
Tickets for Friday's jackpot event are available now. EuroMillions from the National Lottery. Estimated jackpot, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 16 or over.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Talk Radio.
2 o'clock in the afternoon. Good afternoon. I'm John Holmes. Here's Victoria with the news.
Thanks, John. Coming up here from the man leading the Grenfell inquiry, government to fund Northern Irish women's abortions and concerns over Sky takeover bid.
Talk Radio.
The retired judge who'll chair the inquiry into the deadly Grenfell Tower fire says it's important his investigation gets to the truth as quickly as possible. Sir Martin Morbeck says he also understands the desire of local people for justice. He says he has a list of things he's going to be looking at.
I would hope to be able to answer the basic factual questions, such as how did the fire start, how did it spread, how was it enabled to engulf the whole of the building at such speed, what internal precautions there were, what steps were available for alerting residents and for allowing them to escape.
In the last few minutes, the Chancellor has said the government is intending to fund abortions in England for women arriving from Northern Ireland. It's illegal in the country unless the life or mental health of the mother is in danger. The DUP says there won't be an agreement to create a new administration in Northern Ireland by today's 4 p.m. deadline.
The talks are continuing. Obviously, there's not going to be a breakthrough which will lead to nominations taking place today. The DUP were willing to nominate today and proceed, but Sinn Féin do not wish to nominate ministers.
That's Assembly Member Edwin Poots from the Democratic Unionists. Northern Ireland could return to direct rule for the first time in a decade if a deal isn't reached. But the British and Irish governments say significant progress has been made in talks. The Transport Secretary Chris Grayling has been given 2 weeks to explain why problems on Southern Rail have gone on for so long. A judge has ruled that if he doesn't, a judicial review will be ordered into how the government's handled the crisis hit franchise, which has been affected by industrial action for over a year. And the Culture Secretary has been raising worries about proposals by 21st Century Fox to take over Sky. Karen Bradley says the broadcasting regulator has fears about Rupert Murdoch having too much power over UK media. The takeover could be referred to the competition watchdog, but both parties have been given a fortnight to come back with alternative proposals.
Thank you, Victoria. That's quite interesting, isn't it? Can we play that bit of your Northern Irish correspondent there?
Sure.
Again, let's just have a quick listen.
He's not a correspondent, that's Edwin Poots from the DUP.
Yeah, him. Yeah,
The talks are continuing. Obviously, there's not going to be a breakthrough which will lead to nominations taking place today. The DUP were willing to nominate today and proceed, but Sinn Féin do not wish to nominate ministers.
It's good that they're quite old school, aren't they, the DUP? It's good because, you know, they're anti-abortion, they don't agree with same-sex marriage, and they record all of their interviews on vinyl. I think that's a kind of nice... They're quite retro, aren't they, the DUP, don't you think?
Yeah.
But what that was... Don't they have the proper recording equipment over there?
I would like to shatter the illusion. He was speaking, but it was raining, and that you can hear the rain on top of the umbrella to keep him dry. That's what that sound is.
Storm aunt.
Yes, John.
I wrote it down for you, didn't I, but I'll let you have it.
You just could have said it, mate. What's wrong with you?
I wasn't sure whether it'd land, so I give it to you.
Yeah, thanks. Good. What are we doing now? Oh, weather!
Talk Radio National Weather.
So rainy in Northern Ireland.
Yeah, we know that.
But also northern and western areas. Drier in the south with just a few showers, highs of 19 degrees.
Thank you very much. Victoria there with what passed as news. Now here comes Ben with the pre-recorded sport.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
With Selco Builders Warehouse. Great trade prices could be closer than you think. We're opening new branches across the UK. Find your nearest Selco at selcobw.com.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. Jermaine Defoe has reportedly completed his long-awaited move to Bournemouth. The 34-year-old, who scored 15 goals for relegated Sunderland last season, is understood to have agreed a 3-year deal at the club he served 16 years ago on loan. The England international was available on a free transfer following Sunderland's relegation. West Ham co-chairman David Gold has told TalkSport he can only see a season of struggle if they can't secure some top strikers. He admits they're short in that position after a campaign which briefly saw the Hammers in a relegation battle. Gold knows what's required.
We've got a good defence, we've got good midfielders, we've got good wingers. We need strikers, and that's the key to everything for this season. So we are focused, first of all, is to bring in 2 strikers.
Finally, tennis. Andy Murray's pulled out of tomorrow's Wimbledon warm-up match. It's the second time he's done that this week, citing a sore hip. Wimbledon gets underway on Monday. The world number one will go into his title defence, having played just one match on grass. That's the latest sport. sports news powered by TalkSport.
And finally, a council in the east of England has announced that the problem of people placing domestic rubbish in street bins after they brought in bi-monthly bin collections. The council's announced that they'll be tackling the problem by introducing a number of bin wardens to guard street bins to ensure that they are only used to dispose of casual street litter.
Thank you very much indeed, Victoria, there with the news, and Ben with the pre-recorded sports. You're listening to Talk Radio in the afternoons.
Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, Michael Bond, of course, the children's author, and I didn't know this until I read one of the obituaries today. Ex-cameraman for Blue Peter.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that.
Wow.
But Michael Bond, 91 years old. He died, of course, mostly famous for the Paddington books. Sadly died yesterday. We're going to be talking about him in a moment. But let's remember him this way.
I hope you don't mind me asking, but shouldn't you be at home?
Oh, yes, I should. But I haven't quite worked out how to find one.
Mr. and Mrs. Brown first met Paddington on a railway station, which was how he came to have such an unusual name
for a bear. For Paddington was the name of the station.
We called it Paddington because I'd always wanted to use the Paddington as a name, because it sounds rather important, but rather nicely important. It sounds railway country.
Mrs. Brown followed the direction of his arm and dimly made out a small furry object in the shadows. It seemed to be sitting on some kind of suitcase.
As he bent down, the Browns caught sight of a label round his neck. It said, "Please look after this bear, thank you."
I stowed away in a lifeboat.
Cool.
And ate marmalade. Did you know bears like marmalade?
I didn't even know bears could talk.
Oh, well, I'm a very rare bear. There aren't many of us left.
In 10 working days, I found I'd written enough for it to be a book. I still hadn't intended it to be a book, which is, I think, an ideal way to write a book, because you're doing it to please yourself.
Michael Bond, of course, who died aged 91 yesterday. Swapna Haddo is the author of the Dave Pigeon books. She's on the line. Hello, Swapna.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Yes, thank you for coming on. You heard Michael Bond talking there at the end of that about the only way to write a book is to write a book for yourself. Is he right?
I think he is right. I certainly write books for myself. It definitely helps that I have the humour of a seven-year-old, because then I can pitch it to them and they buy my book.
Yeah, which is the point, I suppose. In terms of Paddington, though, because you, I mean, in terms of it being an influence on someone like yourself, a children's author, and you know, you had a personal love of this throughout childhood, as did many. So while writing for himself, of course, he was writing for millions of kids, really.
Yeah, he was. But I think children are really smart and they can tell if you're writing to them or writing down to them. So you have to really write for yourself. And, you know, the rest of it comes from that, comes from, you know, being genuine in your writing.
Yeah. And what did, I mean, in terms of your sort of experience with Paddington, because we were talking about this a bit yesterday, of course, because the news broke just as we came on air. But it's like multi-generational in a way, because we've got very different aged people who work on the show. But everyone has a sort of Paddington reference point, and including my own children now, who's 7 and 5, who I'm reading them to now, and it kind of just transcends any generation of childhood, doesn't it? So, you know, you came to it what kind of age?
I think you're right. It's such a special book. I came to it when I was at primary school. I can't quite remember the age, but I do remember reading the books once I was sort of competently reading. And now I do read the books to my own son, who is 7 now. And I think it's just, there are some special books out there that just, like you say, transcend all ages. And there's so much enjoyment to have out of it, because we're looking at a family, essentially. So you can relate to either the parents or the children or even Paddington himself.
Yeah, stay with us, Swapna. I'm going to bring in Joel Morris, who is, writer, author, man, who you'll know from the reboot of the Ladybird books, of course, originally for children, now for adults. Joel Morris, hello.
Hello.
Hello. Thanks for coming on. To listen to Swapner there, I mean, a love of Paddington. I mean, you, childhood, Joel, it's an area of yours, you know, the Ladybird books that you've done, much beloved, of course, but where did Paddington fit in into that sort of pantheon of children's literature for you?
Well, I grew up with Paddington. I remember being given one when I was about 7 or 8, seems to be quite a good time for Paddington. And obviously, when I was growing up, it was the perfect time for the Ivor Wood, the animation, the TV animations with Michael Horden voicing them, which obviously sort of just cemented it in everyone's minds. It's got the same, I mean, he's basically for the second half of the 20th century, probably what Winnie the Pooh is for the first half of the 20th century. It's everyone's got a memory of having them read to them for the first time. And the same thing we always said about the Ladybird books, they're better than they need to be. They're not, they don't talk down to kids. There's effort in there. The comic timing is really good. He's a really good writer.
Yeah.
And the character is very well envisaged. You know Paddington as soon as he opens his mouth. It couldn't be anyone else talking.
Yeah, and it's interesting, Swapner, isn't it, that sort of the things that resonate with kids, because having kids now myself, you see them, these certain things light their eyes up. Like the concept of a marmalade sandwich, for instance. You know, I don't think I'd heard of a marmalade sandwich before Paddington. But it's these little touches, isn't it, that sort of draws kids in with this stuff.
Yeah, exactly. It's totally relatable, and I'm sure Michael Bond is responsible for a generation of children hiding their sandwiches under their hats because it's just so fun and warm and wonderful. And despite the fact that Paddington is a bear, he's just so well spoken. He's very relatable.
Yeah, and Joel, do you think it's about, you know, when you're writing and stuff, do you... Because you worked on the film, Joel, didn't you, of course, the Paddington film?
Yes, we helped out on Paul King's Paddington back in 2014, yeah.
And was that sort of a room full of Paddington enthusiasts, in that sense, of people just, you know, getting that story out there and bringing it sort of up to date, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously for Paul, it was a childhood dream he'd always wanted to do. He originally wanted to do it like the Ivor Wood animations with the 2D humans and the 3D bear.
Yeah.
If you see some of Paul's stuff, Peter the Mighty Boosh, he was always playing with that as an idea. So it was something he'd always wanted to do. And you end up with this room full of people, sort of all of comedy writers and things, all of whom were treating it as a national treasure. It was very precious. There was a real sense, if any version of the script got his voice wrong, which is, we worked out after a while, is a 5 or 6 year old pretending to be grown up, which a lot of kids do. They don't think of themselves as children. They're talking they've overheard the way that grown-ups talk, and they're trying to sort of act very politely as part of, it's like going around to an aunt's for tea. He's got that voice of acting on his best behaviour, like meeting a teacher kind of voice. And if you get that voice wrong, you know it's wrong. It's too crude or it's too vulgar. He's so polite. He's so earnest. He's trying, the great thing about Paddington is he's causing chaos, but he's always raising his hat. He's always well-mannered. And everyone in the room knew when it was right and when it was wrong. And I think that everyone had a sense working on that movie, they were looking after something very precious. Michael Bond said giving the bear over to be made into a film was like letting his child get into a stranger's car. And he was, by the end, I remember Paul showing it to him and him being delighted with the movie and everyone being so relieved that we'd obviously treated his child well.
Yeah. And there's another one on the way, of course.
Yes,
that did so well.
Very exciting.
Yeah. Swapner, sort of that influence on you, though, when did you, you know, because you've got, you write this the Dave Pigeon series, of course, and there's something about this animal world, isn't it? Because, again, the books my kids like, they often are these, you know, these anthropomorphised animals. I just wonder what it is about that, and why do you went down the route of pigeon?
I think that pigeons are quite underrated as heroes of stories. There aren't that many pigeons on the shelf. I think also they're so relatable, and there's something about a pigeon that is incredibly smart but also incredibly daft. Certainly if you live in London, you've probably experienced a few of those.
Yeah.
So it just makes writing so much more fun. There's less rules, I suppose, if you go with an animal. You can sort of take them anywhere.
And was Paddington, you know, the way the stories are told, and as Joel was saying there, it's kind of the simplicity of it in a way where, you know, you've got this character who you can relate to, but in terms of influencing how you write, was Michael Bond an influence in that way in terms of structure and sort of that thing of you reading it as a kid, you go, okay, this is how to do it?
Yeah, absolutely. The stories that Michael Bond created featured those simple but powerful experiences of kindness and loyalty and friendship. And I think those sorts of themes run through so many books in bringing characters to life, because they're feelings that we all resonate with. So there's definitely, I'm sure there's a whole entire nation of writers who have been influenced by Paddington stories in the same way that I have.
Yeah. And final to you, Joel, are you still churning out a Ladybird book a day? Is that basically the rate now?
Yeah, we can't stop now. It's like a machine gun. No, we're doing a bunch more for this Christmas, which we're in the middle of at the moment, and they're turning out. They're really good fun. It's an honour being given these national treasures to play with. It's brilliant.
Listen, thanks for joining us. Good to talk to you. Joel Morris, their author, or co-author with Jason Hazley, of the Ladybird books. You'll have one. Everyone has at least one. And Swatna Haddo, their author of the Dave Pigeon books, published by Faber and Faber. Talking about Michael Bond and the influence of his work regarding Paddington on writing and so on and so forth. I don't know why I just explained what they've done. You were listening to it, so you know that. So I've just wasted my own time and yours. Anyway, in the next bit of the programme, other stuff will be happening. What are we doing next? What are we doing next? Look at the thing. Anyone got any ideas?
Work experience reviews is very close. Oh, we're keeping with children's stories, John.
Oh, of course. I knew we'd themed it because we don't just throw it together. The Gruffalo. You'll be familiar with that as a children's story. Well, but what if the Gruffalo was replaced by a angry man in a hat, a staunch Corbynite? That's right. We'll bring you part two of our children's poem, The Galloway, next on Talk Radio.
Talk Radio, the 21st century dream team of dialogue, debate and discourse.
Talk Radio, give it some lift.
Stand up to cancer on Talk Radio. Stand up, raise cash, take cancer out. It's time to supercharge the fight against cancer.
I'm Paul Ross and I'm getting orangey-fied for Stand Up to Cancer. I'll be suited and booted in top-to-toe tangerine with a towie tanger boot.
Every orange has appeal. And now you can go orange for an awesome fundraising appeal. Wear orange, pay up, take cancer out.
Shake your satsumas and help bring in stacks of cash for game-changing cancer treatments. 100% of the money raised goes straight to those badass science boffins who save lives.
Stand up to cancer on Talk Radio. Rebels, you now have a cause. Get inspired. Sign up now at standuptocancer.org.uk.
My thing, Guatemalan Cortado. As coffees go, it's pretty lively. Must have smashed out 24 spreadsheets in half an hour. Boom. Which is, funnily enough, what my laptop did when I spilt my Cortado all over it.
Oh, no.
So, I need a new one. 15-inch display, 1 terabyte hard drive, and no big price tag. Refurb it is.
Jake's thing. It's got to be a refurbished laptop from eBay. That's as good as new with 12 months seller warranty. Buy refurbished tech on eBay and save up to 50% versus new. eBay. Find your thing.
Have I got PPI?
Want to know if you've had PPI? Find out with our free PPI check.
The team at Stanton Fisher recently claimed back over £4,500 for me. This money was invaluable, as I'd been out of work for a little while, and it gave me some breathing space.
But the claim deadline is set for August 2019, so text CHECK to 80800 for your free PPI check.
Have I got PPI.com?
That's CHECK to 80800.
Get two free tickets to Warwick Castle worth over £50. Yeah. Simply collect 10 tokens inside the sun to lay claim to yours. Don't miss an offer fit for a king. Continues this week. The Sun Super Days. They're free of charge.
This weekend at TradePoint, get 10% off the full FatMax range, like the 18-volt brushless combi drill with two 2-amp lithium-ion batteries. Was £79, now just £71.10. Starts in store tomorrow. Hurry, offer ends 3rd of July. Excludes VAT at 20%. Trade only.
TradePoint. Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
Starting in the Dartford Tunnel and anti-clockwise, it's closed and traffic isn't moving at all. That's because of a vehicle fire between Junction 1A and Junction 31. Both tunnels have been closed there. Northbound on the M1 in Hertfordshire at Redbourne, Junction 9, there is two lanes closed there. Traffic is queuing back to Junction 7, the turn off of Junction 8 with Hemel Hempstead. And also in Northamptonshire, northbound on the M1, there's a broken down vehicle between Junction 15 at Northampton and Junction 15A, the turn off for the services. I'm Al Booth.
Talk Radio. Intelligent, organic entertainment.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, good afternoon to you if you're just joining us. Work experience punditry on the way, in which a man of work experience note, not really note, but anyway, Ricky, will be here to do today's work experience punditry. It's geeky, gadgety stuff, isn't it, on a Thursday?
Yeah, that's always, what we do. Always.
If it's new in the world of tech, he will have it for us and deeply analyse it, I'm sure. Before that, there's a small matter of today's texting. Well, there's two of them, actually. One is because there was a French Air Force chief who stole a plane from work and took it home.
I think stole's unfair to say.
Well,
he borrowed it.
Borrowed, all right, he borrowed it and took it home to commute home in it. A jet fighter.
Mm.
What have you ever stolen from work? Great text, isn't it?
Yeah.
Plus, of course, celebrity spotted.
After I saw Martin Roberts at Glastonbury.
You did. Martin Roberts out of Off of Homes Under the Hammer.
And Talk Radio's and home show.
And Talk Radio's home show. So who have you spotted and where? What has been coming in, Cornelius?
Lots of spotted coming in through the spotted desk.
Spotted.
Columnist and music journalist Gary Bushell spotted at Go Ape Adventure Park, taking it too seriously by making gorilla noises and hurling his feces around.
Spotted.
Bought it.
The Edge out of off of U2 at the Beanie Hat shop trying on beanie hats, but only over the beanie hat he wears normally, as he refuses to take it off, as he believes that if he is ever left without a beanie hat, then the government will read his thoughts. The Edge there. Spotted.
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 Spotted. Denise Van Outen. Hurling beef stroganoff at the encyclopedias in her local library.
Again. Spotted.
She's always done that. That comes in every week.
Yeah.
That one. Bloody Van Outen.
I'm surprised I haven't banned her.
And her stroganoff hurling, they say, don't they? What have you got there?
Spotted. Former pussycat doll turned yogurt flogger, Nicole Scherzinger, screaming at fish in the London Aquarium, shouting, "You think you're cool, but you're not."
I always
spotted.
Think spotted.
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 I always think that Nicole Scherzinger has a name that sounds like a punchline. Because you sort of tell a joke, don't you? And then you go, Scherzinger! sort of tops the joke off, doesn't it? Scherzinger!
Spotted.
Spotted. Shazinger! Spotted.
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 Spotted. Irish investigative journalist Donald McIntyre, in a children's park in Grimsby on the swings, loudly declaring that he's having a whale of a time. Spotted.
Spotted.
Thank you. Send us your celebrity spotteds then. If you've spotted a celebrity,
spotted.
Out and also about, then you can get in touch with us. 8732.
Start your message with the word talk.
Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with.
What's the word we could use?
I don't know. It's always. Probably. Some sort of hashtag. I don't know. We'll come up with it later.
Come with a word for that. I don't know. Anyway, to poetry. We were talking about Michael Bond, of course, there. We're talking about Paddington. But children's literacy is very, very important, as we were mentioning. Children should be exposed to great writing, great literature at a very early age. One of the most popular, of course, is The Gruffalo, which tells the story of a mouse that goes into the woods and meets the Gruffalo. But what if there wasn't a Gruffalo, but instead there was a behatted Corbynite who presented on talk radio on a Friday evening. That's right, it's the Galloway. Part one you've heard before. We're going to replay it now, but it will be followed by brand new part two, the Galloway.
A worker took a stroll through the industrial park. A boss saw the worker, and an idea did spark. Where are you going, labourer free? Come and do work in my new factory. That's terribly kind of you to offer me pay, but I'm off to a talk by the Galloway.
A Galloway? What's a Galloway?
A Galloway? You've not heard of that. He has a stubbly grey beard and a silly old hat, and a commitment to the proletariat. Where are you seeing him? Here, on this grass. His favourite food is an exploitative upper class.
Exploitative upper class? Said the boss man. Goodbye, lowly worker.
And away he ran. Silly capitalist, was he born yesterday? There's no such thing as a Galloway.
Part one of the Galloway. And now...
You can sort of see the inspiration by Paddington, really.
Without Paddington, there would be no Galloway.
No.
You know, that's why Galloway... I saw George Galloway, actually, here, because he works here, and I saw him in the office. And he, you know the hat he wears all the time.
Yeah.
He took it off for a moment. Marmalade sandwich.
Marmalade sandwich, yeah. Famously.
Yeah. Here's the premiere of part two of the Galloway.
On went their worker through the factory estate. A Blairite saw the worker and laid out the bait. Where are you going, working class Jack? Enlist in my war and go to Iraq. That's terribly kind of you, Blairite, but no way. I'm off to a talk by the Galloway. He acts like a cat and jumps with agility and salutes our indefatigability. Where are you meeting him? Here, by the streetlight, and his favourite food is filthy Blairite. Filthy Blairite? It's all Corbyn's fault! And the Blairite was gone, off like a bolt. Silly Blairite scum, was he born yesterday? There's no such thing as a Galloway.
Part three of the Galloway, next week. Michael Bond did not die in vain. I mean, you know, this is bringing children's literacy back to the airwaves where it should be for kids to enjoy it, spoken aloud. There, that's our audiobook of the Galloway poem. I can't wait for the next instalment. But Galloway, I mean, as I say, you know, he's very, very influenced by Paddington himself in the fact that he does have marmalade sandwiches under his hat, and was found on a train station. If you would like, by the way, to hear more of whatever this is, you could do worse than download our podcast. Now, I'll tell you about our podcast, specifically this week's one, right, that's available now. Every Friday, we put up the least worst bits of the programme, and they go onto the internet. But this week, the introduction was the most rigorously edited piece of audio that anyone's ever heard. And the reason for that was because what got said in the bonus material intro was so unbroadcastable, even in podcast form, that it had to be rigorously bleeped.
Oh, dear.
I don't mind telling you that. It's quite worth the listen. You can. Have you heard it yet?
Yeah, it's basically Morse code.
Yeah, because you weren't here.
No.
So,
I wasn't here to set out the discipline of the podcast intro that I normally bring.
And it was there was a lot of things said. Anyway, you get the gist of it. If you'd like to download it, you'll find it at talkradio.co.uk or iTunes. Why not subscribe?
And review.
Get the numbers
and
review
share it.
Share it, review it. All the modern things. Mm. Share it on InstaFace and Grindr or wherever it is you're on. And that would be marvellous. Right, in the next bit of the programme, Work Experience Punditry, as we bring you geeky, gadgety stuff. It's the tech review done by Work Experience because we don't have to pay them. Now, though, at 2:30, here's Victoria with the news on Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.
Starting with some breaking news, a woman has been found guilty of deceiving her female friend into having sex by pretending to be a man. We'll bring you more on this story as we get it. The judge, who's been appointed to look into the cause of the Grenfell Tower fire, is promising a vigorous inquiry which gets to the truth as quickly as possible. Sir Martin Morbeck says the investigation will be open, transparent and fair. The Chancellor has revealed the government intends to fund abortions in England for women arriving from Northern Ireland. The issue had threatened to derail the Queen's speech ahead of a vote tonight, with Labour tabling an amendment calling for the move. The Northern Ireland Secretary says parties are still having issues agreeing a new power-sharing deal at Stormont, but James Brokenshire says he thinks a deal is possible.
I'm urging the parties to continuing focusing all of their efforts on achieving this. The UK government will work with the parties toward their critical objective of forming an executive.
The deadline is today. The government says it's minded to refer Rupert Murdoch's £11.7 billion bid to take full control of Sky to a further inquiry. It's due to concerns over the influence of the businessman because of his other companies. And protective barriers are going up around Wimbledon tennis championships after the recent terror attacks in London. Firearms officers will also be in and around the grounds when the tournament begins next week. In addition to knives and sharp objects, tennis fans won't be able to enter with selfie sticks, flasks, or any objects or clothing bearing political statements. The weather: rain across many northern and western areas this afternoon, drier in the south with just a few showers possible, highs of 19 degrees. There's more in half an hour.
There is, yes. And there's more in an hour as well. Because today, your bonus news, which happens every day at 3:30, because Victoria has to make the time up because her bulletins are smaller than they used to be. And she gets paid the same. That's not fair. So she has to bring us bonus news: animal, vegetable or mineral. Today it's
vegetable news.
I was hoping I got away with it because you hadn't mentioned it. I was hoping I didn't have to do it.
Yeah, of course you have to do it. It's what the people want.
If you didn't do it, you'd only have to do two sets of bonus news tomorrow.
So, vegetable news today.
Yeah.
So vegetable news.
Yes. I can tell by your tone that you may not have started the in-depth research required.
I haven't, no, because you haven't mentioned it, so I was hoping, maybe he's forgotten it.
Every day.
Yeah, but you hadn't said it on air, so it wasn't going to happen.
Well, it's happening now. Vegetable news. On the way. Vegetable news, not animal
news. Vegetable news.
Not animal news.
Vegetable news.
Not mineral news.
Animal
news. No, not animal news.
Mineral
news. Not mineral news. Vegetable news.
Vegetable news.
Yes. In an hour's time. Okay, Victoria, just to be clear.
Okay.
Thank you.
Vegetable news.
On the way. Tour Radio, afternoons. We do Work Experience Punditry very shortly.
Did your husband accidentally transfer the contents of your joint account to a Nigerian prince called Trust Me Good Man? Perhaps you bought diet pills on the internet that made you frightened to cough. Or maybe your exotic mail order bride turned out to be a Ukrainian pig farmer called Igor.
When the con is on, you need a man who's on it. Listen to the Radio Hustle with scam-busting supremo Alexis Conran and get the inside track on all the latest swindles, schemes, tricks and traps the fraudsters are using to get their hands on your cash.
Get tipped off, not ripped off. The Radio Hustle with Alexis Conran, enemy of the con man.
Saturday afternoon from 1 on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So Ricky will be joining us shortly for Work Experience Punditry. I mean, technically he should be in here doing it now, but I think someone's given him a mundane task to fill in the office as pertains work experiences. Any idea what he's been given to do out there?
What's probably cleaning.
Cleaning. He's got to clean something. I imagine he's got to clean out Cass's potty mouth. She does swear a lot, Cass, doesn't she?
Yeah.
So it's got worse.
Right now.
Yeah.
Look at
the hand gesture. Look at that. Anyway,
this is going back, John.
Yeah.
It's something you always like to bring up. It goes back to when we did a show at a different station.
Radio X?
Well, no, when I interned for you on XFM.
XFM?
And you found it very hilarious that during that time my mum went out to Tiger.
Your mum, that's true.
In Croydon.
Yes, and came home and, let me remember, get this, vomited in the hallway and then slept in it.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's... Face down in your family home.
Yeah, she went to, there's supposed to be a Kardashian, someone who's remotely sort of linked to a Kardashian, doing a special PA who she wanted to meet. She went to, she booked a,
this
like,
is your
booth
mum.
Out. Yeah, a booth out with her friends at
Tiger. She got a what out?
She rented a table to meet this man. The man didn't turn up, so they just had a night out at Tiger in Croydon.
Yeah.
Well, it was very odd behaviour for a lady of that age.
I thought so and said so at the time.
Well, just sort of earlier this week, John, sort of while I was on my way back from Glastonbury, it's become clear where she's got it from.
Go on.
My grandma, my nan, has had a fall last week.
She had a fall?
Yeah.
Is she all right? I hope she's all right.
I'm very glad to say that she's absolutely fine.
Jolly good.
I've spoken to her and she's all good. And I found out the reason why was that because she had been to her local club, not nightclub. This is more of your working man's club.
Is she a working man?
No, she's a retired lady.
Oh.
And she had got drunk on Prosecco. And two Jaeger bombs.
Whoa! Hello, Nan!
Yeah!
Jaeger bomb Nan?
Yeah.
What's that about?
I don't know.
Do Nans drink Jaeger bombs?
Her and my granddad have moved recently.
Yeah.
And made new neighbours, who they're all getting on. The new neighbours, slightly younger, more my mum's age, I think.
Right.
But they all go down the club. It's all they do now, I think. And, my granddad had gone home early. I think he's feeling a bit unwell.
Yeah.
But my nan stayed
out. Not surprised.
My nan stayed out and then was basically delivered home to my granddad in a comatose state, apparently. And she had to go to hospital.
It's a family of lushes, isn't it?
And apparently my nan could sort of overhear nurses absolutely finding it hilarious as to why she was in hospital. Was because she... drunk two Jaeger bombs and had a fall.
Wow.
So, yeah, that sort of explains, that rounds off that story of my mum from about 3 years ago.
Yeah, good. Good follow-up, I thought, yeah. Because, I often wondered where your mum got it from, and also why you drink to the point of insensibility. Because didn't you once fall asleep while having a wee through drink? Something happened. You fell over.
I collapsed.
You had a fall.
Collapsed by mid-wee after a couple
mid-wee.
Of drinks. Mid-wee. I've heard that's a sort of thing that happens quite... Men, for some reason, can get a bit faint whilst weeing sometimes. I heard it ages ago, and there's some medical thing behind it. Something worth investigating, I'm told.
Absolute nonsense. I think someone's pulling your... wee area. Thanks, Cornelius, for bringing us up to date with your family of alcoholics. Right, you know what? Work experience punditry. So you're listening to Talk Radio. I've said that loads of times. I mean, bloody hell, you know what you're listening to. You're not an idiot. You listen to the radio. We're on it. I am John Holmes. And now it is time for Work Experience Punditry with Ricky, who is a work experience. And he's...
I'm not, though.
I know that.
I work here.
I know that.
I work on breakfast.
But it is an experience, isn't it? In many ways.
Yeah.
I mean, you came in as work experience and you've just stayed.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I don't get paid for this, and I actually don't get paid for doing breakfast either.
No, well, that technically is what work experience is, so you are one for the purposes of this, anyway. Yeah. And you're talking to us today about geeky, gadgety crap.
Yes, some tech.
Yeah.
Tech.
It's what we do on a Thursday.
Tech.
We round up the tech.
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 Good. We're going to kick off.
Are you a tech person? I mean, you look quite geeky.
I look quite geeky, but I'm more kind of Buddy Holly, you know, look geeky, but actually just a rock star.
Oh, I see, right, okay. Is that the impression you had of him, Con? I mean, I don't know.
Well, I've seen there was a video of him dancing in Manchester going around the office yesterday.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah. And that suggests the very opposite of Rockstar, yeah. I'll be honest.
I had a very tight-fitting shirt on.
You did? Buttoned right up to the Adam's right apple, up. Wasn't it?
Thing is, you've got to,
his teacher was at the nightclub. He was scared he was get told off.
Very good. It's your mother again, wasn't it? Okay. Do you want to move on?
What was he? What were you singing in the video?
Queen. Don't stop me now.
Although
everyone was trying to stop you, but ironically, but
no, they just carried on filming me.
Yes, they did. You were very drunk. Anyway, you know that leads us in neatly, doesn't it? Because a phone is a technical gadget.
Yeah, it is, but I'm actually not going to talk about anything to do with phones.
Okay.
So, it doesn't really.
All right.
So, you know, there's this big vaccine. Not the big vaccine. Let me have another go. Let me do it again.
A big vaccine?
A big vaccine.
Yeah, we thought we'd edit this out.
The big vaccine. Yeah, edit that bit out. I mean, so, this big virus.
Yeah. That's so, the vaccine is the opposite of a virus, though. You realise that? I mean, literally. Good news, everyone. There's a great big vaccine and we're all fine.
Yeah.
They just need to make a virus to go with it.
This,
you're right, you don't know anything about gadgets.
No, I don't know. I've got the cure sorted first. So the big
I thought you were
virus
Queen,
going round.
No?
They've got a vaccine for it.
Yeah, have they?
They've sorted it, apparently.
Yeah.
And the cybersecurity experts are very happy that they've managed to sort of a vaccine. But I just think, why don't you just, you know, prepare for it beforehand?
Right.
Because what you could do is get like an older computer which is like lost its virus and it's no longer, you know, poisonous to other computers.
Yes.
Just take out the microchips.
Yeah.
Insert that into like an injection or something.
Right.
Put that bang.
You don't know what you're talking about, do
no,
you?
No, no. Bang that into the USB.
Yeah.
And then it'll become
bang
immune.
That into the USB.
Yeah, that's the technical term.
Right. So what? Remind us what this virus is.
The virus. It's ransomware. It originated in Ukraine, and it's had an absolute nightmare in Ukraine. They can't check the radiation levels at Chernobyl.
Right.
Because apparently radiation is still going
still
on.
Still there.
It could actually get worse.
Yeah.
Apparently. I don't actually know how radiation works, but they need to keep monitoring it.
Right. My view is similar to yours about how they kill this. Because surely a virus, right, like an STD, like Cornelius has.
No, I don't.
Not since you got the virus, but the vaccine.
See?
It's catching. This is catching
as
well.
It's the virus. The vaccine virus.
Yeah, what's happened? Anyway, but what they should do is, you know, to stop that going round, one wears a condom, say, for example, practicing the safe sex.
Very good.
So if you technically invented an electronic condom to slip over the computers.
No, you don't actually need an electronic one. You could just have a normal condom, put that on a USB, and you can't get a virus.
You're right, actually, because nothing can transmit.
Yeah.
So the virus would come out. But it just it'll end up in the teat.
Exactly. And then you can tie it in a knot.
Yeah.
And
wrap it in some tissue.
And
throw it at your partner for a joke. is that just me? Just me, isn't it? Anyway, look, we've got to take traffic and travel. And we'll be back with more, I think we can all agree, experts, geeky, gadgety chat after this on Talk Radio in the afternoon.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I used to work in a call centre. Every weekend, instead of being with my man, lost in conversation, I was with customers who'd lost their internet connection. But now I drive with Uber, so I only work weekends when I feel like it.
Oh, the football's on this weekend.
Like this weekend.
Work or not, at the touch of a button. Find out more at uber.com/driveuk. Uber, where to?
Oh, look! Tom and Mary Wainthorpe are proud to announce the engagement of their daughter, Carrie, to Gareth Shadwell. Oh. 5-door hatchback for sale. One previous owner, full service.
Like getting your money's worth? Enjoy the delicious 99p mayo chicken, part of the McDonald's Saver menu. From 10:30 a.m, price of participation may vary.
There's no need to scream and shout. If there's a U-bend that needs straightening out,
there's a local hero for that.
If your lights are leaving you in the dark, there's no need for a rude remark.
There's a local hero for that. Whether it's plumbing, heating, drains or electrics, we've got a local tradesman who can help. There's no call-out charge and all work comes with a 12-month British Gas guarantee. Book online now. There's a local hero for that. localheroes.com.
This August, Macmillan Cancer Support needs you to brave the shave and help raise money for men, women and children with cancer.
I'm braving the shave for my mum to let her know I'm here for her.
I'm shaving my head to support people facing cancer.
I'm braving the shave in memory of my grandma. I think she'd be proud of me.
I'm shaving my head to support my brother.
Whatever your reason for braving the shave this summer, you'll be doing something truly amazing to support people affected by cancer. So go on, sign up today at bravetheshave.org.uk or search Brave the Shave.
Let's create a garden to be proud of. Because right now at Wickes, there's buy one, get one free on all Cuprinol wood care, so you can relax in style. Items must be same price, ends Monday.
It's out with the old and in with the new when you trade in your old car with Renault. We're offering £2,500 scrappage allowance towards the purchase of a brand new Renault Kadjar or Renault Captur from limited stock, along with 3 years 0% APR representative finance. Amazing crossover designs packed with the latest technology. Book your test drive today. Order and register by the 10th of July. Retail customers and participating dealers only. Offer not available in conjunction with other finance deposit contributions. Minimum deposit required. Renault Finance over 18. Subject to status. T's and C's apply. See renault.co.uk/offers.
Talk Radio. Traffic and travel.
Southbound on the M6 in Staffordshire, one lane's closed. Traffic's very slow between Junction 13 and Junction 12 at Gailey. It's causing problems down to Junction 14 there. Northbound on the M1 in Hertfordshire between Redbourne at Junction 9 and Junction 7, the turn-off for Junction 8 at Hemel Hempstead. It's very slow. Anti-clockwise on the Dartford Tunnel, two lanes closed there due to an earlier vehicle fire. That's between Junction 1A and Junction 31 at West Thurrock, and causing congestion to Junction 3 at the M20. I'm Al Booth.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Drive with Sam Delaney on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines.
Fuel your appetite for adrenalised afternoon radio on the Drive Time Show that's going all over the country.
Original afternoon entertainment with me, Sam Delaney.
It's the superior work-to-sofa transmission system with intelligent presenter technology fitted as standard. Delaney, live at Drive.
This afternoon from 4.
On Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So there is much news around, as you would expect there to be. It doesn't stop, does it? A sheikh has bought a small chapel in Cornwall.
Yeah, I saw that story.
That's in the news today.
Yeah.
The government will fund abortions in England for women from Northern Ireland.
I saw that story.
That's in the news today. UK car industry output is falling.
Yeah, I saw that story.
In the news today. Donald Trump's travel ban. They've sent out the visa criteria this afternoon.
I saw that story. Sorry. Yeah.
Russia has caught, you know, our brand new aircraft carrier?
Oh, yeah, I think I saw that.
Russia have called it a convenient target.
Oh, that's, yeah, I saw that story.
But it's all very complicated.
First thing, I see all these stories, John. Yeah. But I can't get my head around them.
Don't you worry, your pretty little face, Cornelius, because we're here to help. And we are here to help by taking all of those stories, taking the news, and giving it to our crack team of investigative journalists who are happen to be experts in Japanese poetry to deal with. So what they do is they take all the stories in the news and they break it down into its component parts, and what you end up with there is five syllables, seven syllables, and five syllables. It's the news in haikus.
Radio 1 is turning 50 years old this year, as is Scott Mills.
The news in haiku. We are still midst work experience punditry. Ricky is here before the break and so forth. We learned absolutely nothing about geeky gadgety stuff at all. And then we talked about a virus. But now, what now, Ricky? What now?
Well, the other big news this week is it's the 10th anniversary of the iPhone.
Yeah, is it?
It's the 10th anniversary. Yeah, it's the 10th anniversary. Do you remember when it was just the first year of the anniversary, and you know, we had it in the creche and we had it sat down and we put a little dummy in the iPhone's mouth.
Yeah.
And now it's 10, it's looking at secondary school.
It's going to have downstairs hair soon.
Yeah, that's That's one way of looking at it.
So,
people are for some reason like, oh, look, we've assessed now. I'm not that bothered about gadgets, but people are losing their minds.
But you're reviewing gadgets.
Yeah, I don't really care about them. Look, you can review things. You can be a music reviewer and not really care about the music, can't you?
Well, yeah. Or a music DJ, John.
Yeah, fair point, well made. Oh, you like Bon Jovi? Go on, carry on.
No, that's all right. So, yeah, there's people are absolutely losing their minds about it, and there's kind of all sorts of pieces going around about, you know, the biggest failures, the biggest successes of iPhone. So I've got some of the biggest failures which they've had, which I thought I'd just kind of run through with you this morning.
Yeah, thanks. It's an afternoon, but that's fine.
Oh, yeah, it's afternoon. It's not pre-recorded.
No.
So we're going to kick off, I think, with the best one was when Apple Music or iPhones, I don't know which one, they're the same thing, teamed up with U2.
Yes.
And everyone had that god-awful album on their iTunes.
It just downloaded automatically, whether
overnight.
You wanted it or not.
Yeah.
And made everyone hate U2 more than normal.
Yeah. It went up quicker than, like, you know, the Berlin Wall. It separated people, and people hated it. They hated living in a U2-surrounded world. And you couldn't delete it.
No.
Couldn't get rid of it.
Can you delete it now? Is it still there?
Yeah, no, they had to make a bug or an app that you had to download to permanently delete it from your phone.
Right.
It was a big thing.
Yeah, I remember. And then shortly afterwards, Bono fell off a bike. Do you remember that?
Vaguely,
he downloaded himself into the pavement. and really damaged himself and had to cancel a tour. So, you know, every clap.
Another one which, you know, the real geeks have gone for is the unashamedly plastic iPhone 5C, brackets 2013.
What was that?
I remember. Brightly coloured
iPhones. The very bright ones, yeah. Do you remember those...
plasticky looking.
The watches, that there was like a G-Shock watch and then there was like a Baby G. Do you remember those?
What are you talking about?
There were watches. You don't remember the
very
watches?
Very brightly coloured plastic watches.
No. They were like really awful toy watches.
Okay.
And, you know, they were fashionable. So I kind of see, you know, when you get these bright kind of candy-coloured phones.
They weren't a massive failure. Lots of people had those.
Look, according to the geek community, this is a massive failure.
Wow, lots of people had them. And I think they were a bit cheaper than the standard iPhone.
What, because they were disgusting?
No, it's just they're a bit plainer, I think, is the idea.
Are they bringing out a 10th anniversary iPhone? Is that what you need?
Probably.
Well, they bring out an iPhone every year, so...
They do, technically, yeah. I'm due a new one, that's all. I keep getting messages saying you're due an upgrade.
So am I.
And I don't... But I can't be arsed. Mm. So I've just got that with its broken screen. I don't mind.
Oh, very good. And the other one that I just wanted to bring up is Apple Maps, which was first brought in 2012.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember how awful this was when it first came in?
Yes, it's not...
And they got rid of Google Maps, didn't they? They wouldn't let Google Maps have an app for
a
while.
And instead they just put their rubbish one.
But,
yeah.
That you still have now, which every now and again I accidentally click on.
I accidentally do that. Yeah. They made it look a little bit similar to the Google.
Too similar, And every time I kind of, for some reason, I'm in the middle of Texas when I open it, I'm not there.
Yeah.
There are people still lost.
This is kind of part of the problem, that some of the things it was suggesting was for how people can get to places. Obviously, it worked as a sat nav as well, and all this kind of stuff.
Well, the main problem was, of course, because U2 got involved in that as well. So when you opened it, the streets had no name.
That is really good.
Thanks, mate.
Was that with or without the maps?
No, don't try. I tried. It's terrible.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Moving on. But anyway, so people are actually getting
everyone
lost.
Everyone ended up in Red Hill Mining Town. YouTube's.
So some of the problems which people were being faced with, there's
apparently pushing me close to the edge with those jokes.
Yeah, good.
We done?
Well, the thing is, I'm opening Apple Maps now, and I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
Yeah, that's better. That's really good. We'll end it there.
Okay.
Right. No more mentions of U2 for the rest of the show. No.
The dizzying heights of Vertigo. Oh, Vertigo.
Ricky, you are the worst.
Do I not get it?
No.
Have I not done it right?
My favourite thing about the iPhone when it came out was that basically all it could do was phone, text, and then you could put a picture of a pint on the screen and then pretend you were drinking a pint and it would pour out into your mouth. It weren't a real pint.
Yep.
I think that was really sort of a good benchmark to start off from, really.
That must still be a thing. That
I
must
don't
still
get
be available.
Where the U2 reference was in that one.
What else have you got in your gadget roundup?
Other things going on. The Ocado driverless cars, so they're a delivery firm which normally have drivers, and recently they've been trialling driverless cars in kind of the Greenwich area, so very pedestrianised areas. Yeah. And they say that the vehicle that they're using is a small milk float and a large tuk-tuk, which can deliver apparently 8 loads of, I don't know, shopping or deliveries. Right.
Yeah, but it won't deliver it, will it? The point of a delivery driver is they bring it to your door. They take it out of the back of the thing. And then they go, oh, we haven't got what you ordered. Would you like these things instead?
why have you replaced
that with that? That's not even similar.
If anything, my girlfriend used them just so they can bring up litres and litres of water up 3 flights of stairs.
Yeah.
Now, can a driverless car do that?
No. Well, it depends how small it is. I mean, if you put it on rails, it could.
I guess you could absolutely just ram into the side of it.
There was a famous... Where did I hear this? With the things being delivered, and the man said it wasn't... we hadn't got what you ordered. And he gave the woman the receipt, and she'd ordered panty liners, but the replacement item was skewers.
That's very odd.
It is, isn't it? It's not even similar.
Nowhere near.
No.
Absolutely nowhere near.
There you go.
They've tried this. However, my issue with this story is that when you look at the trials, there are 2 blokes sat in the car.
Oh.
So it's a driverless vehicle, but there's 2 blokes in it.
Yeah, but there are. And well, that's good then.
There's normally only 1 bloke in the lorry as
so
well.
So they're helping you. They are bringing it to you up
very
the stairs.
Speedy. That would be very speedy. I have a feeling that they're probably just, you know, safety... Yeah. Test pilots or something like that.
Right.
But my issue with this is it's clearly not a driverless car because there's drivers in it.
Yeah, but there might not be drivers. There might just be sitters.
No, wrong. Think of it like this.
Yes.
If you had an aeroplane and it was, a driverless plane, does that work? Pilotless plane, a pilotless plane, and there's a pilot in there, and there was an accident about to happen, the person would presumably take control.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, oh, what's his job? He's like, oh, he's a pilot.
Yeah. What are you getting at?
So that there is a pilot in a pilotless plane.
Right.
So basically it's not a driverless car, is it, if there's a driver in there?
Well, he's not a driver, he's a sitter.
No, but
he's a deliverer.
But he will drive if there's some incident.
Well, then he becomes a driver.
No, he's a driver. That's his job.
I thought his job was to bring you the skewers.
No, very different. Very different.
And on that exciting technical note, thank you, Ricky.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we're not, are we? Really?
No.
Do you want to just say another U2 song before we go?
I can't think of one quick enough.
Come on.
That's a good thing.
Come on. Come on.
Come on, you've got one in there.
Come on.
Is there one about the Battle of the Boyne? Something like that?
No, never
mind. No. Sunday Bloody Sunday, you're thinking
of. That's what I'm thinking of, yeah.
Battle of the Boyne. That's Ricky there with a roundup of geeky, gadgety stuff. It's work experience punditry. You listen to Talk Radio in the afternoons. I'm John Holmes.
Talk Radio.
We got entertainment and we're not afraid to use it. Talk Radio.
Stand up to cancer on Talk Radio. Stand up, raise cash, take cancer out. Genius scientists, game-changing treatments, fearless fundraisers.
I'm Ian Lee, and it's game on as we fire up our consoles for Stand Up to Cancer. Why not get involved? From sporting sims to puzzling platformers, test your electronic entertainment endurance in a marathon gaming challenge to help level up loads of cash for life-changing cancer research.
Play games, raise cash, take cancer out. 100% of the money raised goes straight to those badass science boffins who save lives.
Stand Up to Cancer on Talk Radio. Rebels, you now have a cause. Search Stand Up to Cancer to sign up.
Vice Voyager, proceed to countdown. 10. 9,
this Friday is a EuroMillions jackpot event.
2. 1.
And there's a whopping £85 million to be
it's
won.
Out of this world. Over.
Tickets for Friday's jackpot event are available now. EuroMillions from the National Lottery. Estimated jackpot, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 16 or over.
This weekend at TradePoint, get 10% off the full FatMax range, like the 18-volt brushless combi drill with 2 2-amp lithium-ion batteries. Was £79, now just £71.10. Starts in-store tomorrow. Hurry, offer ends 3rd of July. Excludes VAT at 20%. Trade only. TradePoint!
When you hear a PPI commercial like this, you think, I wonder if I ever did have PPI. And maybe I should claim with the deadline being announced. And then you think, oh, but I'm not sure where my paperwork is. So you end up doing nothing. Well, here's the easiest thing in the world to do. Just text the word PLEASE to 60777. And the claims guys will conduct a free search to discover if you ever had PPI. And then you can decide to pursue the claim yourself or get the claims guys to do it for you. Text PLEASE to 60777 now.
The claims guys.
I used to work in a call centre. Every weekend, instead of being with my man, lost in conversation, I was with customers who'd lost their internet connection. But now I drive with Uber, so I only work weekends when I feel like it.
Oh, the football's on this weekend.
Like this weekend.
Work or not, at the touch of a button. Find out more at uber.com/driveuk. Uber. Where to?
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A new kind of talk radio. We'll get you talking. Talk Radio.
At 3 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm John Holmes. Victoria's got the news now.
Thanks, John. Coming up, Grenfell Tower inquiry chair promises to find the truth. No deal yet for Northern Ireland and concerns over Sky takeover.
Talk Radio.
The retired judge who will lead the public inquiry into the Grenfell Tower fire says he's keen to hear from survivors. Theresa May says she expects there to be an interim report as soon as possible and that no stone will be left unturned. Sir Martin Morbeck has been to see the high-rise building's burnt-out shell.
From my brief meetings with residents of the tower and local people, it's quite clear that many of them will have evidence to give that will be of great value to the inquiry. So yes, we can take account of their views and what they have to say.
The DUP says there won't be a new power-sharing government in Northern Ireland by today's 4pm deadline. It means there's a possibility of direct rule from Westminster returning. The government will fund abortions in England for women from Northern Ireland. Labour was hoping to derail the Queen's speech by pushing through an amendment on the issue. A woman has been convicted of impersonating a man to trick her female friend into having sex over a period of 2 years. 27-year-old Gail Newland from Cheshire persuaded her victim to wear a blindfold whenever they met. Newland was jailed for 8 years in 2015 before the verdict was quashed by the Court of Appeal. She's now been convicted at a retrial. The Culture Secretary says she's inclined to launch a full investigation over the proposed £11.7 billion takeover of Sky by 21st Century Fox. The proposed deal would see Sky having the third largest total reach of any news provider after the BBC and ITN. Karen Bradley is concerned about the influence of Rupert Murdoch because of his other media companies.
This potentially raises public interest concerns because, in Ofcom's view, the transaction may increase members of the Murdoch Family Trust's ability to influence the overall news agenda and their ability to influence the political process, and it may also result in the perception of increased influence.
Well done, Victoria.
You don't mean that.
Very brave. Right, so in terms of in half an hour's time, I know you are going to, if you've still got a job, I know you're going to bring us vegetable news. Because it's bonus news, and today, if it's happening in the world of veg, then you will be telling us about
Just
it.
Just a warning, I'm struggling today with vegetable stories.
Are you?
Vegetable news. What's your Twitter handle? Maybe the
Victoria
listeners.
_Bourne, spelled B-O-U-R-N-E.
Feel free to tweet some.
Spotted a vegetable story, then spotted. You can tweet to spotted.
Spotted.
Spotted. If you've seen a vegetable story you'd like Victoria to cover, then why not tweet her or indeed at Talk Radio? Then we can pass it on.
Please, quickly.
Oh, it's a cry of desperation there. But anyway, so that's on the way. Bonus news is she does this for the normal news as well. She's in the office in the morning, go, oh God, there's no news, I don't know what to do. Then she just gets it off Twitter. I just said most news outlets these days. Victoria, thank you.
Have
you
done need to do the
weather? All right, weather.
Talk Radio, national weather.
She's struggling with the weather. If you'd like to tweet the weather to Victoria as well?
No, just veg stories.
Okay.
Or cute animal stories. There's a great parrot story.
We're not doing animal news.
Don't care.
Whatever. Anyway, rain across many northern and western areas. Drier in the south with just a few showers. Highs of 19 degrees.
Thank you very much indeed. Now, here's Ben with the pre-recorded sport.
Talk Radio Sports Update
with Selco Builders Warehouse. Thousands of trade products to click and collect online. Selco's got it.
Selco is where the trade goes.
I'm Van Fletcher. Good afternoon. Bournemouth have completed the signing of England international forward Jermaine Defoe. The 34-year-old arrives on the South Coast on a free transfer, having agreed a three-year deal at the Vitality Stadium. Defoe scored in 10 consecutive games for the club previously, while on loan as a teenager. West Ham co-owner David Gold says the club need two strikers if they're to avoid a struggle in the Premier League next season. Gold says the Hammers are looking good in other positions, so there's only one area they're targeting at the moment.
We need strikers. Andy Carroll is injury prone, as we know. We've had an injury problem with Sacco. We've just got to bring in centre forwards, and we've got to find the money. You know, without strikers, you struggle in this in the Premier League. You struggle in any division.
Finally, tennis. Andy Murray's pulled out of tomorrow's Wimbledon warm-up match, the second time he's done that this week, citing a sore hip. The tournament gets underway on Monday. The world number one will go into his title defence, having played just the one match on grass. That's the latest sports news, powered by TalkSport.
That's quite an accusation there by Ben.
Yeah.
Isn't it saying Andy Murray plays games whilst high on cannabis?
I know. I think he needs to back that up legally, doesn't he?
Yeah, so I think just on behalf of the station, we should say that's Ben Fletcher's
view.
Opinion. Yeah, view.
Ben Fletcher.
As to whether Andy Murray plays on grass.
Yeah.
We don't believe that.
No. Or any other drug.
No, not at all.
I don't think that's right. I think Ben, it's just Ben's opinion.
A respected journalist as well, like Ben.
Well...
yeah, I'm surprised that he said that.
Yeah. Anyway, that was the sport there, pre-recorded. You'd think you'd have edited it out, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
With Ben on Talk Radio, where the big debate is on the way next.
Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Evil lurks in the hearts of men.
To some, it was a miracle. Others called it the triumph of illiteracy. Radio, it revolutionized the way people learned about their world.
Get out of the way, please.
It changed forever the way people would be entertained.
John Holmes. John Holmes. On Talk Radio.
For those about to talk,
we salute you.
Play Misty for me.
Still to come on the Talk Radio programme that you're listening to at the moment this afternoon with me, John Holmes. Hello. Paul Rossmaster, of course. That is the quiz that tests the knowledge of celebrities with increasingly small C's. Their knowledge of the life and work of Paul Ross, Talk Radio's full-set breakfast presenter. That's at around 22 or a quarter to four this afternoon. Also, another chance in this half hour to hear what happened when I phoned BBC Radio Kent's phone-in. We played it out yesterday, but a lot of people missed it. So we're going to be playing it out again. So it's another chance to hear it. All of the way before four.
John Holmes.
Talk Radio.
But now it's time for the big debate. So, fresh from leering at an Irish TV journalist, Donald Trump has begun to set out his travel ban criteria. If you are an Muslim from Iran, Libya, Syria, Somalia, Sudan or Yemen, then from today you must have a close family or business tie to the United States, or you ain't getting past the velvet rope. Ahead of the ban, of course, Donald Trump has already put a cap on refugees, which is a cap with refugee written on it, which refugees must wear so that everybody knows they are a refugee, which means they can be more easily victimised by the American police force. In contrast to his travel ban on Muslims, Donald Trump has also issued an executive order this afternoon that says that anyone Russian, particularly those who helped him win the election, and also any urinating prostitutes, are very welcome in America and won't even have to show their passports at customs. They can just come and go as they please. Now, on the telephone line, and once again, it's the line we have in the studio based on Pythagoras' his theorem, line 3.142, is Professor Hugo Shatwell, Birmingham University professor. Good
Good afternoon, yeah. Professor.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. Now, you heard me say ahead in that introduction.
I certainly did, yeah.
And you've called because you are calling for the abolition, and I think that is a word that isn't too strong to use because you've used it, the abolition of...
It's nowhere near sign-off, John.
What word would you use?
The extinction, the eradication.
Yep.
The, what was it you said?
Abolition.
Yeah, that was quite good, actually.
Yeah. Of heads. Of people's heads.
Yeah.
Right, so, I mean...
Fairly, well, do you want me to elaborate? Or make some sort of case or something? I'm going to have a look. John. A simple search on Google of how do I remove my own... And the first suggested search is, John?
Yes?
Head.
Yes.
Ridiculous boxes of curdled porridge sitting atop supposedly sentient bags of blood and cartilage. And what good have they done, John?
Well, now, there's a, I've looked that up. There's a long list of good that they... For a start, they provide a housing, a casing, if you will, for one's brain guts.
Porridge.
The eyes are in the head, aren't they? The ears are on the head. If you
have a look at what goes on in there, I mean, God, mind boggles what goes on in your head, John. Show me a war that wasn't started in someone's head. Right? It's the source of all war. In this country, of course, John, we have a head of state.
Yes, we do.
Something the French did away with in a very no-nonsense, in a very literal way, with Madame La Frisbee. Sorry, guillotine, I think of a play I saw. And what do states call wars?
Let me bring in Rupert, who's listened...
Bring him off.
Listened to you,
bring
and he's called Talk Radio. Rupert, you're listening there to Professor Hugo Shatwell, and he's calling for the abolition. The extinction was the word he used. What was the other word you used, Professor?
Demolition, eradication.
You didn't use demolition.
Name it. I don't care.
Of heads, Rupert, but you are in favour of us keeping heads.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's nice of the professor to come on and go head-to-head with me on this.
Yeah.
I want to tackle his argument. I want to tackle him head-on. I want to sort of head him off at the pass.
Yeah.
Now, you can call me hedonistic, but I think he's hedging his bets.
Yeah.
He's being hot-headed about this, and quite frankly, I think the only reason he's so against heads is because he himself, this plan, this decapitation, eradication scheme...
Deviation, hesitation, the repetition of heads...
Well, I can clearly see that he's in favour of that. He wants heads to be repeatedly chopped off, sawn off, perhaps. I don't even know, but it just doesn't strike me as a moral thing to do, and it would completely destroy the hat industry.
Yeah, there you go. What about the hat? The people that work it, the milliners. What about milliners?
Mm. Yeah, well, they can diversify into lids. You know, little lids to put on the top of people.
Well, hang on. What is a head if not a lid for the body? It's a body lid, isn't it?
It's not. No, it's not.
It is because it goes
exuberant. It's like a gross.
No, it goes across
head. You show me.
You shut your head
good
a minute.
Head.
First of all, if you the body, if you didn't have a head, all you've got there is a neck hole. That needs a lid, or things like fluff and digestive biscuits will fall into the neck hole, right, when you're just walking around. So the head acts as a kind of lid for that and stops that happening, doesn't it, Professor? You can't argue.
No, but milliners can start purveying lids for the neck holes. Look, John, starfish, jellyfish.
Yeah.
Several Premiership footballers. They all seem to get by perfectly well without them. Why can't we?
Right. Well, Rupert, would you argue with the professor?
Would you? No, I would argue. I 100% would argue with them, and I would. And I would use my head to come up with those arguments, and I'd make those arguments very nicely. I think headlights, for example, help us to see things. So at school, you have a head boy and a head girl who help you with your homework if you don't know quite what you're doing. And coins, most particularly, always have Her Majesty's head on the underside. I cannot think of any other of Her Majesty's body parts that could be placed with any degree of decorum on our great British coins. I certainly don't think her tail ought to be on there.
No, you're absolutely right. So what are you saying, Professor? If he's right, isn't he? We'll have the Queen's realm, the coins of the Queen's realm.
Yeah, we'll
have the coat of arms on it. The Queen's realm is out of bounds.
Get her realm out and put it on there.
We're not.
Heads, you lose.
No, no one should see the Queen's realm apart from perhaps
I've
Prince Philip.
I've seen the Queen's realm.
You have not.
The Queen's realm. I was a member of the Queen's equity. inquiry.
Yeah.
And as part of the initiation, you are allowed to observe the Queen's realm. There's a curtain.
I would not be surprised if he'd been watching her while she was on the throne.
Yeah. What's the, out of interest, Professor, what is the Queen's realm like?
Well, it's the finest example in Britain. As a patriot, I think that Her Majesty the Queen is the most attractive woman in the country. The second most attractive is the Queen Mother, as is today.
Today, yeah.
Because I love my country. Do you love your country, John?
Well, No,
you don't.
Not
no,
really.
You want them all to win. Cockroaches, John.
Mm-hmm.
They can live for weeks after losing their heads.
Please. Oh,
yes.
Please.
Oh, but hang on, because head roaches can live for weeks after losing their...
Oh. Yeah, that's so true. Studies have shown that cockroaches survive much worse without heads, and that other species also have extreme difficulties surviving without heads, and I'm surprised the professor is so indifferent to rigorous academic studies, John. You hear people say it all the time,
yeah.
We don't need heads, we can just get by without them. Well, actually, the facts suggest something entirely different. The heads are extremely conducive to the continuation of life.
Yeah.
Right. If you have your head, you're much more likely to be alive than if you don't.
The government is saying... The government is saying 40,000 more heads by 2018. Is, of course, the magic head tree that they said they hadn't got enough heads, suddenly there are more heads. 40,000 more heads by 2018, Professor. That's what the government figures.
You see that this island can't sustain any more heads. The world can't sustain any more heads. Where do we
send some heads to Northern Ireland?
Well, why not?
Yeah. Heads to Northern Ireland?
Well,
I can sort of fill for a bit while we both try to unpick the political implications of what you just said and work out whether or not it's viable comedically. But quite honestly, I wouldn't touch it with a barge pole. Like your head!
Heads or tails?
Tails. I mean heads. Shrunken heads. But what about shrunken heads? Would they... smaller?
Why not? Oh, okay, well, that's a good point.
It would be a start, but I'm more of an abolitionist.
So you wouldn't want a person's shrunken head on the neck?
Then. No, we'd all look like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
I like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I thought he put in a very good performance in...
Do you like his head?
Californian governorship. Yes, I do, actually.
Do you think about his head a lot?
Word you can't say on the...
I think about it every day. I think about all heads every day. I love them. I love thinking about them. Yeah. I love the fact that they exist. And quite frankly, you think, sir, that you're talking heads, but in truth, you're on a road to nowhere.
The notion of heads and tails comes, of course... We mentioned the Queen's realm... being put on a coin, which is unreasonable. But of course, heads or tails came from the ancient practice, or I think it went back to the 17th century, of throwing dogs into the air to settle bets, didn't it? And whether or not that dog landed on its head or its tail would determine whether or not one person went first. And that's where we get the phrase from. Would you go back to that? Because I'm wondering whether or not we haven't touched on this yet, Professor Shatwell. Animals' heads. Are you in fact, should animals have their heads abolitioned?
Well, you see, I think in nature it very much takes care of itself, doesn't it? Because you've got, you know, the lion bites off the zebra's head, the zebra bites off the head of the whatever, and it all cascades down, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, who cares?
Right.
It's human heads that cause all the problems. I mean, for example,
yeah.
Look at, who's your boss there?
Denny. Denny.
Now, would you describe him as a head honcho?
No, more of a...
Does he scream head?
He's more of a realm honcho, if I'm honest.
He's a realm man.
He's a realm. He's a realmer. Yeah.
He's a realm man.
Oh. Does he have a neck hole?
Why do you want to
know?
Rupert? Does he have a...
Yes, but not for long. Final question. How many heads, yes or no?
No.
Yes.
Okay. Seem to have changed your point of view there. But anyway, sum up the debate for me, if you would, in one word, please, Rupert.
Headwood.
Thank you. And Professor Hugo Shatwell.
Nosh up!
Lovely. And there we must leave the debate. There it is. You've heard from the professor. You've heard from Rupert there, a listener, Rupert. Do we need heads? We've got them, haven't we? But do we really need them in 2017? Arguments on both sides of the aforementioned coin there, with the picture of the Queen's realm on one side and a coat of arms on the other. It's post-Brexit Britain. We've got farm machinery and bananas now. Why do we need heads? Get in touch. 87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
At Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you'd like.
I'm John Holmes, and this is Talk Radio, and that is The Big Debate.
Talk Radio. Talk and entertainment across the nation.
Talk Radio.
Give it some lip.
Once upon a time, there was a magical place where you could hear tall tales of beastly boys, ghastly girls, and really awful adults. Story Hour with David Walliams on Talk Radio, in association with HarperCollins Children's Books. Every Sunday afternoon from 3, join Britain's best-selling storyteller as he reads from a selection of his brilliant children's books.
Goodbye, ranky-danky rhubarb! Good riddance!
Story Hour with David Walliams on Talk Radio, in association with HarperCollins Children's Books.
It's out with the old and in with the new when you trade in your old car with Renault. We're offering £2,500 scrappage allowance towards the purchase of a brand new Renault Kadjar or Renault Captur from limited stock, along with 3 years 0% APR representative finance. Amazing crossover designs packed with the latest technology. Book your test drive today. Order and register by the 10th of July. Retail customers and participating dealers only. Offer not available in conjunction with other finance deposit contributions. Minimum deposit required. Renault Finance over 18. Subject to status. T's and C's apply. See renault.co.uk/offers.
You have one new message. No message left.
Sound familiar? It's not the sound of silence. It's the sound of your customers not being able to get in touch. So take back control with eReceptionist. eReceptionist answers and directs all your calls, ensuring your customers always get an answer and you always get the business. Take a free 30-day trial at ereceptionist.co.uk. Free trial must be cancelled within 30 days to avoid charges.
We all like to feel our money is safe. That's why I, an ordinary little piggy bank...
I'm becoming an armour-plated, rivet-reinforced, titanium-clad piggy bank!
And your money is just as safe too. Because should anything happen to your bank, building society or credit union, the Financial Services Compensation Scheme protects up to £85,000 of your money. Search FSCS Protected for more information.
This weekend at TradePoint, get 10% off the full FatMax range, like the 18-volt brushless combi drill with two 2-amp lithium-ion batteries. Was £79, now just £71.10. Starts in store tomorrow. Hurry, offer ends 3rd of July. Excludes VAT at 20%. Trade only.
TradePoint! Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
In Greater Manchester, we have one lane closed due to debris on the road. That's on the M60 anti-clockwise between junction 18 and junction 17. In Derbyshire, one lane closed, heavy traffic there due to emergency repairs. That's on the M1 northbound at junction 25. In Staffordshire, we have one lane closed, very slow traffic due to an accident. It's on the M6 southbound between junction 13 and junction 12. And at Bridge End, we have one lane closed due to emergency repairs. That's on the M4 eastbound between junction 35 and junction 34. I'm Sammy Jolo.
Talk Radio. Join the Talk Nation.
Dial up and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Talk Radio. I'm John Holmes. And that was The Big Debate. Now, of course, your reactions to it are very welcome. The question we were asking is, should we or do you agree with Professor Hugo Shatwell there? And his view that heads should be abolished, made extinct. He says we don't need them anymore. They're just the body's lid. But why do we need them? And Rupert phoned up, of course, and argued that we absolutely do need to keep our heads. Keep your head when all about you are losing theirs, etc. A lot of reaction coming in, Cornelius.
Plenty coming in. Lots of people using head in a term we can't mention.
Yeah.
Alex says 45% of Britons can't get their heads around heads, while the other 45% can't stomach stomachs, and the rest can't be arsed. John, what about Hedwig from the owl from Harry Potter? If you got rid of him, it'd just be a wig. If Harry Potter had a wig, then maybe Voldemort wouldn't be able to recognise him that much. John, without head, what would we get our around the news? Surely that means we would no longer need the haikus in news, and they would be gone from the show. And who would want that other than high management?
Okay, let's also have a look at what's come in here. John, it's all very well, isn't it, calling for the removal of heads. In the Tory manifesto, you remember this, there was a pledge in the original manifesto that every house would get a guillotine. Every house would be given a guillotine, and heads would then, you could just remove heads and put them in head collection bins, which the council would provide. But of course, it comes down to cost, doesn't it? They can't. There's not a magic money tree, unless you're giving £1 billion to Northern Ireland to prop up your failing government. But other than that, there isn't one. And so, of course, that pledge was dropped from the Queen's speech. It's worth pointing that out, I think. Now, earlier on the programme, we spoke about Paddington Bear, of course, because the author, creator is the word I'm looking for there, Michael Bond, died aged 91. Of course, we spoke to Joel Morris, the author of the Ladybird books. Who else did we talk to? Oh, that's right.
Swapna
Haddo, who wrote the Dave Pigeon books. That's right. And there's a lot, we're getting a lot of messages and a lot of text in here. Quite confused, right? But let me try and explain this again. So Paddington Bear, right?
Yeah.
Was, he's called Paddington, okay, but he's not a station.
Has anyone actually made this mistake?
Right, he's a bear.
Yeah, everyone's well aware of that, because they attach the word bear to Paddington in this instance.
Oh, yeah, you say that, but there was a TV series back in sort of late 70s, early 80s, called BJ and the Bear.
Yes.
Right, and it was on television, Saturday evening sort of programme. So the A-team.
You've told me about this before. Slot.
And it played by the actor Greg Evigan. There was a BJ... and he was a truck driver, and his best friend was Bear. The theme tune used to go BJ McKay, and his best friend Bear, and he's Bear. But the
we get this, John.
The funny thing about it was Bear wasn't a bear.
He was a chimpanzee.
He was a chimpanzee. Yeah. I'm not sure you understand.
No, I do, because I just said it before you said it, so clearly I understand.
Yeah, but
why are you doing this?
It's confusing
again?
Because he was a like Paddington. Paddington was a bear, not a railway station.
Yeah, we get that.
The bear in BJ and Bear was a chimpanzee.
Chimpanzee was
called
a bear.
Yeah,
I know.
That's why it was funny.
Yeah, was that
That's
funny?
That's the humour.
Is that funny?
The comedy
though?
Arose.
Is that, in realistic terms, going to make anyone laugh?
Anyway, the reason I mention it is that yesterday we played out, because sometimes we have this discussion. And
always we have this discussion. It seems like every day we have this discussion.
It's not clear.
And also, sometimes we have this discussion off air, which is even more of a waste of time.
So anyway, when I found out that BBC Radio Kent was doing a phone-in, I happened to hear it, on bringing back old TV shows, I thought I could take it to a wider audience.
Thank you for joining us here on BBC Radio Kent. It's drive time. It's Harvey at 7 minutes now to six. And we've been asking you about your TV memories and TV shows that you'd like to be brought back in 2017. It's all because The Crystal Maze, that classic 90s game show, was back at the weekend. There's also talk about reviving Pat Sharp's Funhouse. John in Canterbury joins us now. Hello, John.
Hi, Harvey. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Thanks for joining us here on BBC Radio Kent.
Very welcome.
So, what would you like to see return to our TV screens in 2017?
Well, I don't know whether you remember this, but it was, I suppose it was in the, I don't know, maybe 80s, early 90s, but there was a programme called BJ and the Bear, which was...
I don't remember that.
Do you not remember it?
No.
Okay, it was about a truck driver called BJ McKay, played by the actor Greg Evigan. And he was a truck driver. It was on Saturday evenings. You know that Sixteen Dollar Man kind of slot, the 18 slot.
Right.
On Saturday evening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was a truck driver called BJ McKay, and he had his best friend called Bear. But the thing about it that was brilliant was that Bear, his best friend, was actually a chimpanzee. who would sit in the truck, which I think was a kind of callback to those Clint Eastwood films, if you remember, when he had an orangutan in his truck with him. But BJ was this truck driver, but Bear, what was funny about it was that Bear wasn't a bear, but he was a chimpanzee, but he was called Bear. And that was like genius to me, because it wasn't the first time it had happened. Because if you remember, there was a chimpanzee in Tarzan that was called Cheetah. So it was like animal. It was like apes being named after other animals.
But, do you think this would work well in 2017?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah. I think we're a nation of animal lovers, and I think we are.
Idea, yeah, absolutely.
Just to be clear, that he was a bear. No, he was a chimpanzee. But he was called Bear. But I'm not sure it was ever explained properly in the programme. So it was a little bit of a mystery. But essentially, where the comedy arose was that he was a chimpanzee, but he was called Bear. But he was the best friend of BJ McKay.
How did that pass me by? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. But it was, honestly, it was, Google it. It's a cult classic.
And BJ McKay.
BJ McKay, yeah, and his best friend
his
was
best
Bear.
Friend
but
Bear.
He wasn't a bear.
He was a chimpanzee.
But his name was Bear. And that was what was funny about it.
Yes, I can see.
No, I'm not sure you understand. Well, he was a chimpanzee, but he was called Bear.
Bear. Yeah.
Yes. He wasn't a bear. He was a chimpanzee.
Anything else you'd like to see brought back?
No, literally that, 24 hours a day.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. That was Johnny Canter.
He was a chimpanzee, and he was called Bear.
Yes, we've got you. We've got you. I think you need to talk to some TV companies. Yes, yeah. John, you take care. Thanks for joining us here on BBC Radio Kent.
He's a bear.
Paul Hendy joins us now.
There. So I think now the good people of Kent are well aware. Of BJ and the Bear. You know, we mentioned Tiger earlier.
My mum went there a few years ago.
And danced on the table and vomited and then fell face down in your home hallway.
Yeah.
Anyway, Dave's been on. Says, Tiger is a bar. It's not two tigers.
Yeah, everyone
it's a,
knows.
It's a, cause
you don't need to explain
could be confusing,
that.
Couldn't it?
John, tiger. No, not at all. Because I went to Tiger in many of my formative years when I would stagger out of that club.
Yeah.
At no point did I think I was leaving two tigers.
Right. But just to be clear, it's a bar. It's not two tigers.
Technically a nightclub.
It's called Tiger.
And it's closed now anyway, the Croydon one. I don't know if there's any others.
Right. Tigers are extinct, are they?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Endangered. Anyway, in the next half an hour of the programme, we will bring you this week's edition of nobody's favourite quiz, Paul Rossmaster. But now, it's just after 3:30. Victoria's got the news on Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.
The retired judge who'll chair the inquiry into the Grenfell Tower fire says it's important his investigation gets to the truth as quickly as possible. Sir Martin Morbick also says he understands the desire of local people for justice. The Democratic Unionists say there won't be an agreement to form a new power-sharing government in Northern Ireland by today's deadline, which is in half an hour's time. Power-sharing talks are continuing ahead of it. Northern Ireland faces the return of direct rule from Westminster if no deal is reached, but James Brokenshaw hopes that can be avoided.
Much progress has been made, but a number of issues remain outstanding. I believe that a resolution can be found.
The government will fund abortions in England for women from Northern Ireland. Labour was hoping to derail the Queen's speech by pushing through an amendment on the issue. A woman has been convicted of impersonating a man over a period of 2 years to trick her female friend into having sex. 27-year-old Gail Newland from Williston in Cheshire has been found guilty of sexual assault by a retrial jury. And the Culture Secretary says she's minded to order a full investigation of Fox's proposed takeover of Sky. It's after the media regulator Ofcom said it was concerned about Rupert Murdoch's companies having too much influence. The weather windy with more rain at times for much of Scotland, Northern Ireland, Wales and the far southwest of England. Elsewhere cloudy with some drizzle, lows of 11 degrees tonight. Tomorrow's going to be rainy across the west and north of the UK. That'll slowly drift southeastwards. Otherwise it'll be quite bright, but there's also a risk of some heavy showers. Highs of 21. There's more in half an hour.
There's more now.
Yes, there is.
Because it's time for Victoria's bonus news. The reason it's here is, it's to It's to really bring Victoria up in line with everyone else who works here, who have to work for their money, whereas Victoria's bulletins are shorter than they used to be. Have you just let off?
No, I haven't. I just think you're being rude.
No, I was just explaining to the boys and girls why we do bonus news, because your bulletins are shorter than they used to be, so you have to make the time up. Is the gist of it. Animal news, vegetables news, and minerals news on consecutive days.
Well done on speaking.
Thank
then.
You.
Yep.
Today, vegetable news.
Vegetable news.
Okay, so first of all, I should say thank you to everyone who's tweeted me at Victoria_Bourne, spelled B-O-U-R-N-E on Twitter. You've made my life a lot easier.
Sorry, because you always say Victoria_Bourne, spelled B-U-R-N-E. Is that part of your name?
No.
Do you have to write that in?
So it's Victoria_Bourne. But if you're wondering how that's spelled, it's B-O-U-R-N-E.
Fine. Right.
So please start thinking about mineral news, which is tomorrow.
Right.
Any suggestions for that? So I'd have to think about it. Great.
Oh, you're passing on your work to other people now.
Yeah.
You're like Cass.
I think we're going to have to re-look at your contract at the moment.
I mean, this feature isn't even in my contract, so shush.
All right, carry on.
So, starting off with livid crumb suggestion.
Yeah, livid crumb.
Vegetable crisps aren't really a healthy alternative to normal crisps. Some have even more fat than a Mars bar.
What? Oh.
Wow,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well, what?
They're quite nice, though.
They're delicious. Do you want to know the fat content?
Yes.
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to say yes.
Okay, good, because otherwise I'm not filling much time. So a 40-gram bag of the... a very popular brand of vegetable crisps.
What is it?
Tyrrells. contain 14.3 grams of fat, which is 20% of an adult's recommended intake. And when you compare that to a Mars bar, which is 51 grams,
yeah,
it contains 8.6 grams of fat, which is 12% of an adult's intake.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah, but Mars bars aren't made out of vegetables.
That's true.
So, what's your point?
So, you'd think the vegetable crisp would be healthier than the Mars bar, but actually the Mars bar's got less fat content.
But you're not getting all the, like, vitamins from the vegetables.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure they're not, because of the...
I bet there's a lot more sugar in a Mars bar as well.
Hang on a minute.
I don't think...
Well, no, you're encouraging everyone to eat 5 Mars bars a day here, and I don't think that's responsible.
I'm not. But also, I don't think it's responsible to eat, say, 5 bags of vegetable crisps, thinking you're getting your quota in.
No, but they're all in... You get about 3 different vegetables in one bag.
Was this the conversation you two had on that date you went on? Because it's fascinating.
It wasn't a date.
No, it was a date, wasn't it? I've got a crisp question. So you get vegetable crisps.
Yes.
Right, and you get... crisps.
Vegetable
so,
news.
Yes.
Crisps are just potatoes, whereas vegetable crisps are made out of things like carrot, sweet potato, beetroot.
But potato is a vegetable, so why aren't they in the bracket vegetable crisps?
Because they're just crisps. They're the original.
Yeah, but their potato is a vegetable, so it should be vegetable crisps.
You're just being a pedant.
I deny that.
With your clammy hands. It's true.
It isn't. I've got clammy hands.
The last 2 times you've touched me...
I haven't touched you.
You did.
What, when I moved you out of the way of the sink or whatever it was in the kitchen?
The water machine.
Yeah, that.
Your clammy hand touched my dry hand.
Well, it wasn't... Well, it was wet.
Mine wasn't.
Never mind. You're all right, Victoria.
I'm just thinking about how small and clammy you are.
Unbelievable.
Sorry, I'll compose myself.
Not clammy.
Vegetable news.
Yes.
What else have you got? I had a wet hat, doesn't matter. What else have
you got? Last week when you touched me on the shoulder.
I didn't touch you.
It was clammy.
Your shoulder was clammy.
No, it wasn't. Okay, anyway. vegetable news.
Yes.
Thanks to Alex Sivright for this one. I don't know if I'm saying your surname properly. Probably not.
Don't say anything else properly.
Whatever. Clammo. School children have solved the mystery of the theft of a Mr. Potato Head. So they had the guidance of a police officer and they used modern investigative techniques. The children took fingerprints, footprint scans and handwriting samples from all the likely culprits. And it was revealed to be two teachers, obviously. That's that. And finally, not strictly vegetables, but I like the suggestion from Terry Tibbs. So I'm going to include it. Sainsbury's are going to soon start stocking a punnet of edible flowers. It's going to be in the herb section of the supermarket.
Okay.
Edible flowers?
What sort of flowers?
What, like made out of chocolate that you get
no,
in
it's
card
in
factory.
Flowers, which won't kill you if you eat them.
Do they taste
they look
nice,
nice
though?
I don't think so. So I go to pretentious cafes in Hackney and they put them on there and I'm like, I don't want to eat that.
What sort of flowers are they?
I don't have the details of the flowers. They're usually pretty ditzy flowers though.
Ditzy flowers.
Ditzy flowers.
I've got his second album, Great Trumpeter.
Yeah. And I just want to say thanks to a French tickler who sent me rude vegetable pics.
If you've got some rude vegetable pics and you'd like to send them to Victoria, at Victoria underscore born, hashtag rude vegetable pics.
Fine. Is that but also send me your mineral news. And John, don't touch me with your clammy hands.
I'm not going to touch you. Your hand was wet. It's vegetable news.
Vegetable wet from sweat.
News. Vegetable news. Vegetable news.
We'll play Paul Rossmaster next on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Every weeknight from 10, get an earful of unusual nocturnal emissions with radio's Lord of Misrule, Ian Lee. No relation, thank God.
The cactus and the tree and the rabbit on the hill.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation.
It's going to be awesome.
Late Night Ian Lee.
Just listen and see what happens.
Tonight from 10 on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Uber on Talk Radio. Work or not at the touch of a button. Uber, where to?
My name's Calvin, I'm 26 years old. Before Uber, I did waitering jobs, I did events work, you name it, I was doing all kinds of things. I then led on to getting a consultancy business, and I also play football semi-professionally. Business at times was up and down. Also, you have to juggle it with football, so you have to get your training in. You find yourself, you're working constantly, so it got a bit hectic. My uncle, who's a chauffeur, he said to me, if you put in the hours, it can work out for you, especially with your time schedules. Being an Uber partner makes me feel privileged because it kind of opens your eyes to certain things. I'm able to have a flexible life. So you get more happiness, you get more time on your hands to do things that you enjoy doing. And it's made me more friendly.
Uber on Talk Radio. Work or not at the touch of a button. Uber. Where to? Visit uber.com/driveuk to find out more.
There are over 15,000 products in the new Screwfix catalogue. Surprising how easy it is to pick up, really. The new Screwfix catalogue, packed with tools, accessories and loads of great trade deals. Pick up your free copy from any of our 520 stores nationwide.
Screwfix, here when you need us.
Lucy's dad's favourite pesto pork.
When I was little, Dad loved doing a barbecue. The minute the sun came out, he was straight outside. He always made his favourite pesto pork, while I ran around the garden causing havoc. So today, when Dad comes to visit, I'm treating him to pesto pork with char-grilled fennel and crispy crackling on the side. Difference is, now it's my kids who run around causing havoc.
Find Lucy's Dad's favourite pesto pork recipe online or in-store. Food Love Stories, brought to you by Tesco.
If you still haven't gotten around to finding out if you ever had PPI, then it's probably time you did. Because even though there's still time to claim before the PPI deadline, time is the one thing that will eventually run out. All you have to do is text the word PLEASE to 60777 and the claims guys will conduct a free search to discover if you ever had PPI. You can then claim the money yourself or let the claims guys do it for you. It's your choice. Isn't it time you texted PLEASE to 60777?
The claims guys.
Well, I wasn't really sure I'd belong in the army. Just thought they expected the guys to be super strong. And before I joined, every press-up felt like 10. So on the second day, one of the lads offered to do some jobs for me for a few evenings so I can get some extra sessions in the gym. Yeah, so 10 years on, I'm our regiment's boxing champion, and that was all thanks to Jonesy. He didn't do much, but it meant a lot.
This is Belonging. Find where you belong. Search Army Jobs. Army. Be the best.
Let's create a garden to be proud of. Because right now at Wix, there's buy one, get one free on all Cuprinol wood care, so you can relax in style. Items must be same price. Ends Monday.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
In Greater Manchester, we have one lane closed due to debris on the road. That's on the M60 anti-clockwise between Junction 18 and Junction 17. Elsewhere in Greater Manchester, the M60 anti-clockwise exit slip road is closed due to emergency repairs. That's at Junction 14. In Derbyshire, we have one lane closed. Heavy traffic due to emergency repairs. It's on the M1 northbound at Junction 25. And at Bridgend, we have one lane closed due to emergency repairs on the M4. That's eastbound between Junction 35 and Junction 34. I'm Sammy Jolo.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast, tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio. And now for something cold, flakily different. Satisfy your appetite for meaty news debate and unfiltered comments on The Breakfast Show with Extra Bite.
I'm Paul Ross. Join me from 6 on Talk Radio. If it's on your mind, get it on the radio.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast. Make toast, not war.
Tomorrow morning from 6
on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good afternoon, it is Talk Radio. I am John Holmes. Sam Delaney with you from 4 on Drive, of course, taking you through the news. We've been looking at the news as well, of course, discussing a lot of it. The pay cap, Donald Trump's visa rules for immigrants and Muslim bans on Muslim countries and so forth. There's a lot been going on today. It's very complicated, isn't it?
Oh, I can't get my head around it.
Don't you worry, Cornelius, because many people can't get their head around it. And this has very much become the programme, the go-to, the safe space, if you like, for people who can't get their head around the news, because we explain it simply and concisely. And the best way to do that, we find, is by, turning it into Japanese poetry. 5 syllables, 7 syllables and 5 syllables. We present the news in haikus.
Rare bats cost taxpayers 4 mil. That could be spent on the DUP.
The news in haikus. And now it's time for this week's edition of Paul Ross Master. It is radio's least favourite quiz, where contestants must try to get some points. This will see them at the top of the leaderboard, along with everyone else who's ever played. A quiz pertaining to the life and work of Talk Radio Full Set Breakfast presenter Paul Ross. Let's meet today's contestant. It's Sam Harper. Hello, Sam Harper.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. So, Sam Harper, Signal 1 presenter.
Yes.
In the Staffordshire and Cheshire area, is that about right?
That's right, yeah, in Glorious Stoke.
Glorious Stoke-on-Trent, of course. Home to Robbie Williams / and my dad. So all from Stoke, Sam. So all the big names there.
Well, I only knew that we had Robbie, to be fair, but...
Did you not know Slash came from Stoke-on-Trent?
I should probably know that.
You know that now. You can use that tomorrow in one of your links.
I'm going to use that in my 8 o'clock. Thank you.
You're very welcome. So what do you do at Signal 1, Sam? What show do you do and all that stuff?
So it's a bit complicated. So I did do weekends.
Yep.
This week I'm covering breakfast.
Right.
And on Monday I start on mid-mornings good. So then I'm doing that.
Right. Okay. Well, that's good. Well, yes, congratulations.
You get that?
First of all, of course, mid mornings. Well done. Yeah. No, that's good.
Thank you.
Who are you covering on breakfast at the moment?
Foxy and Jenny.
Foxy and Jenny. Are you Foxy or Jenny?
Both.
Right,
both.
Good news. Right, listen, so what we've got here, I don't know what your knowledge of Paul Ross is like, Sam.
I Wikipedia'd him for a good 5 minutes, about 10 minutes ago,
right,
so...
that's good. Let's see if it helps. What you got, 3 questions, A, B and C answers, mostly. All you have to do is give me those answers, and you are looking to get some points to get to the top of the leaderboard with everyone else who's ever played. Sam Harper from Signal 1. In the Stoke-on-Trent area. Let's play Paul Rossmaster. Here we go. Question number one. Recent animated cinema film release news now. And a recent animated cinema film release that's been released to cinemas is, of course, the recent animated cinema film release, Despicable Me 2. It picks up where Despicable Me... It's no, 3, isn't it, in the cinemas? It picks up where the second one, beg your pardon, left off, Despicable Me 3, with likable villain Paul Ross setting off on a quest to meet his long-lost brother, Jonathan. Paul's minions, meanwhile, his Talk Radio Full Set Breakfast producers, Alex and Ricky, who go around babbling unintelligibly with their comical, nonsensical language, want him to return to his old life, such as when he once took drugs off a man's face, because at least that would be good publicity if he did that, wouldn't it, for Talk Radio? Which no one's ever heard of. But Despicable Me 3 isn't the only radio-based animated children's film, of course. Name the other one, Sam Harper. Is it A, Moanica Rice? Moanica Rice. Early morning Radio 2 lady sails from her island to save her people and meets the mighty demigod Maui. He teaches the ancient Polynesian practice of navigating open oceans and also teaches Moanica Rice how to do links on her show without being a bit rubbish. She fails the latter. Or is it B, How to Train Your Julia Hartley Brewer? Or is it C, Danny Wallace and Gromit? XXFM breakfast host Danny Wallace has a plasticine dog. Which of those do you think is the most?
Just for the big build-up,
yeah.
It's going to have to be A.
Moanica Rice.
Moanica
is the right answer.
Yeah,
thank you. Very good. Question number two. It's a history question. It was on this day, give or take, in June 1613 that Paul Ross's Globe, home to the plays of the Elizabethan playwright and Talk Radio Full Set Breakfast presenter, burned down. During a performance of Paul Ross's play, The Two Gentlemen of a Notorious Dogging Spot on or Near a Maidenhead Roundabout, it was a double bill with Coriolanus, a theatrical cannon set off during the performance misfired and ignited Paul Ross's thatching. According to one of the surviving documents of the event, no one was hurt, and Paul Ross's Globe was rebuilt the following year. But of course, Paul Ross's Globe isn't the only radio-based cultural landmark. Name the other one that just happens to be the correct answer to this question. Is it A, Circus Max Rushtinus, Ancient Rome, and TalkSport presenter Max Rushton is the setting for chariot racing and Roman games? Is it B, The Angel of the Chris North? Now, it's quite niche, this, but...
right.
But the radio agent Chris North, he's the manager of big-name radio stars such as Steve Lamacq, Hugh Stevens and BBC Radio Wales's Vicky Blight, stands in his office with his arms outstretched, The Angel of Chris North.
Bad that I've heard of him, but not the first one.
It is a little bit, yeah. Or is it C, Jamie Easter Island? At mid-morning, Virgin Radio presenter Jamie East has mysterious statues on him that look out angrily on 30-second links as dictated to him the other day by the new boss. Is it A, B or C?
It's got to be the legendary talent manager who I could do with hiring me and managing me. B.
The Angel of Chris North is the right answer. Very good, yeah. This is your niche. Third question is a music question, Sam. Have a listen to this music. Oh, that was, of course, Gina G and her Eurovision losing song, Ooh Ah, Just a Little Bit. On the advice of her agent, actually, of course, she sensibly dropped her first initial V from the front of her name. Here's your unrelated question. The Paul Rostral, an iconic bird of prey and Talk Radio Full Set Breakfast presenter, is heading towards the brink of extinction in England, new figures suggest. There are just four breeding pairs left of the former host of Living TV's Mystic Challenge, and numbers are declining elsewhere in the UK. The broadcasters live primarily on heather moorland, with the males easily identified by their black wingtips and loud Hawaiian shirts. Here's your question. Name five famous tips.
Tense.
Five famous tips.
So wait, how are we spelling tip?
T-I-P.
Tips. Oh, T-I-P.
Tips. Yeah. Tips.
A helpful tip.
Yes.
A tip that you take your rubbish to.
Yes. Good.
A blue tip, yeah, blue tack, but a tip.
Yeah, blue tip. Going to put a clock on you. Got to put a timer on it.
God.
Yeah.
Tipping point.
Oh, we're out of time. Five famous tips. I had It's a Long Way to Arary.
Yeah.
Felt. Canterbury tip, where I go on a Sunday to put cardboard in the appropriate skip, but you said about tips.
Well, I kind of got that.
That's good. I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Here's my handle, here's my spout. When the kettle's boiling, hear me shout, me up and pour me out. And just the. So,
right.
Which...
I feel like did I get that?
Nearly. So let's very quickly, go to the score. So, Cornelius,
I've been writing it down.
Type, yeah. So right. What's the? He's looking for some point. Sam Harper.
Signal One.
He's getting the mid-morning show.
Yeah, you'll know him from weekends, but soon he'll be on mid-mornings. But if you're worried about this week, he's currently on breakfast.
There we go.
And he has called Mabel.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Well, research. Yeah. Sam.
Has scored.
He's got me right now.
Yeah, he's got.
Some points.
He's got
some points.
Yeah. Sam Harper.
Well done, Sam. Thank you very much. That was a thrill.
And there's Mabel. Yeah.
There we go. Right, that was Sam Harper playing Paul Rossmaster. You're listening to Talk Radio in the afternoons. We'll be back tomorrow from 1 till 4 o'clock with your Friday show. But Sam Delaney is with you next with Drive. And he is on the line now because he's not in the studio. Hello, Sam.
Hi, John. No, we are back in North Kensington in the Notting Hill Methodist Church next to Grenfell Tower, like we have been for the last couple of weeks. It's obviously a lot quieter and calmer here, but, you know, there is still extremely visible. The sort of the people here volunteering, we've bumped into a lot of sort of friends that we've made over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
The effort is still going on. And we just want to keep this story up. As you know, we're just coming back here every week, speaking to people, finding out, first and foremost, about the fortunes of the survivors who are looking for a new place to live. We're speaking to a few of those, and politicians, volunteers, lawyers who are helping out some of those affected by the disaster, to just find out what happens next and will there be justice in amidst all of this. So we've got a packed 3 hours. We'll also be covering all the other big news stories of the day, but first and foremost we'll just be digging deeper into this Grenfell aftermath.
Thank you, Sam. Sam's down there with you from 4 o'clock, and as I say, we're back tomorrow 1 to 4 with your Talk Radio in the afternoons thing. I'm John Holmes.
Talk Radio, 24-hour radio debate and entertainment.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.